morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, Teo.
I was watching you. You were about to talk, and then I just beat you to it.
Is this how it's going to go?
This is how it's going to go.
Okay. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve-O is not here.
And he's not sick. Nothing's wrong. He's just...
No.
Sleeping.
He's taking some well-needed... some much-needed and
well-prepared
for...
Oh, and yes.
And deserved. Yes. Vacation time.
All three of those things.
Amen.
Now, Stever, on the other hand... is out. Our phantom boss face.
Yeah, man in the cave.
Apparently the cave isn't so germ-free because he got the flu. And
yeah,
now
he is
asleep.
He is sick. So pray for Stever.
Dang it.
It's no fun.
Pray for me. It's not.
And today Mitch is pretty much showing me the ropes on how to be the queen of the studio.
Yeah, because let's just face it, that's what I am, right? Right?
Yeah. Until Celeste shows up. Mitch, what did you do yesterday afternoon after your show?
After my show yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ate lunch.
Yeah.
Is there something specific that I was supposed
I'm
to do?
No, I just want to
okay,
know.
I ate lunch, and then I went home, and I was like, I have a birthday party to go to.
Oh.
But then I didn't go. Oh. And because, here's the thing, it was across town.
Yeah.
And everyone was sick. Like,
Everybody's sick around here.
I don't want to get sick, so I stayed confined in my little home, and I watched a lot of Cowboy Bebop, which is anime.
Okay.
And that's where I go to a song, huh?
That makes me upset that that's what you were listening to.
Watching. What did you do yesterday after your show, Teo?
Oh, man. Well, I went home.
Okay.
I cleaned out the cat litter. That's right. I'm domesticated. That's
fine.
That's fine.
Good on you.
Good on me. And then I went to exercise.
Okay.
And it kicked my butt.
Oh, yes. CrossFit. Tell me everything you did.
No. It kicked my butt.
Oh.
But I'm
you have to
slowly
do those
getting better.
Things where you had to kick your butt? Is that what you're talking about?
I did those the other day.
Oh.
There's a running motion where you kick your butt while you're running.
Yeah.
It's like self-inflicted punishment. You're like, man, this is stupid. Why am I
you're
here?
You're like Dobby.
Yes. Gosh, why'd you have to bring Dobby into this? Yeah, so CrossFit was fine. It kicked my butt, like I said. And then I went home and ate some dinner and... Oh! Finished Sherlock?
No!
Yes.
No, I haven't... No,
Let
I haven't watched
me tell
it yet.
You,
don't you
everything
do
that happened.
Don't you do it.
It was the best episode yet.
Oh, good.
I'm interested to know if the listeners today are ready for some Trivia Thursday.
It's Trivia Thursday?
We haven't done that in a while.
Okay, well,
and
we have
I wanna,
some things to give away.
Yeah, we've got some stuff to give away, and we're going to do it today.
So Trivia Thursday, we have Clay Schroff in studio. Today is also Theology Thursday.
That's right, and so, you're going to be in here with us.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my mouth closed because I'm a woman.
Very well, very good, Mitch.
You have trained me well.
Every woman out there is going, what?
People just pulled over. Cars are flipping because
didn't you see the State of the Union? That's what they're saying.
No, just kidding. I'll
just
talk.
Kidding. Calm down, everyone.
But we do have Pastor Brian Nixon and Pastor Jared Petro.
That's right.
In here, and they're going to be answering your questions.
Yeah.
So if you have a crazy theological question
that has to pertain to the discussion today. Yeah.
See how I corrected that?
I think you're awesome.
That has to do with Bible things, hard knock life questions.
No, that's shock therapy. Here, I'll give you some examples of what we've covered. We've covered Calvinism versus Arminianism.
Have you covered can you lose your salvation yet?
Sort of. That's kind of Arminianism.
Right.
Let's see. We talked about, you know, who are the other people groups that are mentioned in Genesis. All of a sudden, Cain's got a wife, and you're like, wait a second.
What?
And then we've talked about it. So if you've got questions in that nature, then call in.
Yes.
Speaking of calling in, random phone call of the day, number one.
Hello?
Morning, guys. It's Matthew from Albuquerque.
Yeah! Good morning!
Caller.
Matthew, I got to tell you, man, Mitch is here because Steve-O is out.
Yes, that is right.
Oh, hey, Mitch. How's it been?
It's been pretty good.
Been pretty
dead.
Hectic, huh?
Definitely. Very much.
She's got a hectic life, Matthew.
Yeah.
Please. Sorry, guys. My driver is in here. She loves you guys' radio station so much.
Hey, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Yeah, they say hi. They say hi, and she's driving, so Anyways, guys, I'm going to go ahead and make an announcement again since Mitch is in here, and she probably didn't hear this.
Yeah.
But again, to you guys out there, I did get asked out to Winter Ball 2014 at Volcano Vista.
Yeah.
And this girl, her name is Kaylin Castillo. I'm very, very honored and very happy that I did get asked out to Winter Ball. Because at first, guys, I was thinking, no girl's going to ask me. I'm not sure about it.
Yeah.
And then it happened. I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
Amen. Amen.
Was this Sadie Hawkins? Or like, why did she have to ask you? Why didn't you ask her?
Well, it's a tradition. All the high schools have been doing this for as long as I can know. It's been a tradition for years. You guys probably don't remember this, but the girls do always ask the guys out to Winter Ball. It's just the way the traditions have been.
Well, are you excited?
Oh, of course I'm excited. I didn't go to homecoming because I didn't ask anybody out. I was shy, so now I'm going to make it a goal for me now to start attending the dances that freshmen or sophomores next year can attend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm making it a personal goal for myself.
Well, that's cool, man. Yeah. I'm excited for you.
Yes, we are.
Matthew, I'm sorry. We got a lot of stuff going on here in the studio, and we're like, we're listening, and then we're like, oh, no, what's that?
Oh, wow. Hey, guys, can I get a song request this morning?
Yeah, you can. What do you want?
I was wondering, you guys have anything by Hillsong Young and Free?
Oh, no. We have Hillsong United Relentless. Is that going to work for you?
That will work just fine. Anything by them, guys, please play that for me. And I want to put a song out to them. By them to my wonderful, wonderful date to ask me out to more ball, Kaylin Castillo.
That sounds good, buddy. I think you're doing the right thing.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, have a good day.
God bless.
Matthew from Albuquerque.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Well, speaking of that, let's go to this song requested from our friend Matthew from Albuquerque. This is Relentless from Hillsong United.
Dedicated to his wonderful date that asked him out to winter ball.
That's right. We'll be back in a minute with breaking news.
Breaking news, birthdays, it's all gonna happen.
Woo!
Team Awesome Morning Party?
No!
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It was bound to happen at least once.
It's fun.
I love it!
I know.
Good morning.
Well, here's the thing, Mitch. It's 6:30.
It is.
And that means we got to jump right into this.
Yes, okay, so ready?
Yes.
Are you sure? No.
We'll do it.
Okay.
No!
Mitch? See, I'm not sure!
Look, let's do this one.
Yeah! I have a little news flash.
Boom!
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Breaking news with Mitch and Mateo!
Double M.
Double M. Eminem.
Eminem.
Not the rapper.
Mitch and the Muffin Top.
Okay. Pope Francis is on the cover of Rolling Stone.
What?
That's right.
That is amazing.
Look what happens when somebody starts acting like Jesus. People freak out and they're like, what's wrong with him?
Let's put him on the cover.
He's famous.
Whoa.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
We'll uncover more about that later.
Okay.
Someone robbed a member of the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra and made off with a 300-year-old Stradivarius violin.
Is that like millions of
dollars?
Here's
the thing. Recently, of all people, Skip Heitzig
was just talking about
those. He talked about Stradivarius violins. Those things are like millions of dollars a piece because they are handmade. And the guy that makes those, like his motto or his whatever has always, his motivation has been to make those instruments as unto the Lord.
Yes.
So they are handmade. And they are impeccable instruments. Like, literally, he makes them as if, like, God was going to play that violin.
Mm-hmm. And
they are millions of dollars.
They are close to perfect as humanly possible. And somebody stole a 300-year-old one?
Yes.
Oh.
Golly.
I feel so bad for that man right now.
Throwing the science community into another tizzy, Stephen Hawking says black holes don't exist.
And question, Teo?
Yes.
What do you say?
What do I say? I would tell Stephen Hawking, I would say, sir, I work with a black hole every day.
Come on.
It's just a black hole of despair, and when I get to the studio, all of the life and the goodness is just sucked out of it. And its name is Mitch. I wouldn't say that. would say, hey, that's pretty cool. You're a scientist. I don't know anything about it.
I just thought you would have a lot to say about black holes because you're all into space.
I read a little bit about... He says black holes, as we know them, as we've theorized for the past however many years, they don't exist. So it's kind of confusing, but it's confusing anyway because it's high science. Who knows what's going on?
They're black. What?
Yeah. Let's just move on.
Moving on.
The way you reacted about black holes, that's kind of what they do. My favorite story this week is the one about flatulent cows starting a fire at a dairy farm in Germany.
That was amazing.
That's right. Cows been tooting, and barns been burning.
They started a fire.
They started a fire with their toots.
That's amazing.
Y'all, they've been using they toots.
Sometimes I feel like I could light a match in your little office over there, and it would catch fire.
No comment. No comment.
It's okay.
I will say this one comment. It's good that there are no barns around.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. Just kidding. Hey, Motley Crue announced that it will call it quits this year. Motley Crue. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
We gotta do this. Motley Crue's like, hey, we're hanging it up. We're throwing in the towel. We're done. But as you know, most bands do that.
Yeah, they definitely do. The Amberlin's doing it.
Yeah. So, Waverly did it.
Waverly did
R.I.P.
it.
R.I.P. R.I.P., man.
R.I.P. Waverly.
Yeah. Rapper.
Yeah.
But here's the difference with Motley Crue. They've signed a contract that says they're done. Like a contract. They will never
so
play again.
They're not like Michael Jordan.
Right. Wait, he signed a contract. Nah.
Well, no, because Michael Jordan, he stopped playing basketball, and then he made a movie, and then he was golfing and playing baseball, and
yeah.
A movie was Space Jam.
Space Jam. Welcome to the Space Jam. It's your chance.
Your
do your
in
dance
the air.
At the Space Jam. Mitch, do it.
Throw your hands in the air if you're feeling fine.
Go back to breaking news.
Okay.
Get out of there. Mario Lopez, do you know who that is?
Yes.
AC Slater.
Yeah.
You know that man, when he sat down in a chair, it was fantastic because he would flip that chair around backwards and sit in it the wrong way.
The wrong way.
That was his thing. He's like, what's up, prep? Preppy. That's what he called Zach. Preppy.
I know. I know. I remember. It's. Did you know you can watch that show streaming on a live streaming thing?
You can,
yes.
Can't you?
Yes, all of it.
Gracious.
All
what
of
have
it.
I been doing? Mario Lopez is being accused by fellow travelers of acting like a jerk.
No!
And demanding preferential treatment at the airport. It's because of Jesse. If Jesse wasn't so high maintenance, she's always on her sleeping pills, gotta make good grades constantly. Gosh!
Definitely.
He's under a lot of pressure. Everyone.
Under pressure.
If you're at the airport and you see Slater walking around, you feel sorry for him.
You move.
Because you know his girlfriend is like, oh, Slater, I gotta make all A's. I've been in high school for 20 years. What's wrong with me? It's crazy.
I have really, really bad news for you.
No.
Yeah.
What?
They broke up.
No. They had to.
They had to.
They were just too different.
Yeah.
Their relationship was a black hole.
Which Stephen Hawking doesn't believe in.
More on that. More on that later.
Their relationship doesn't exist.
Oh.
Whoa!
Or does it? Parallel universe. Whoa.
You like that?
Double sound.
There you go.
A German chef is suing celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay.
No, that guy.
For allegedly being injured by a sharp object and a hamburger he ate at Ramsay's New York restaurant.
Ooh, that's a big deal.
If
since
you
he's
can't
so crazy
beat him,
about that food.
Sue him.
Oh, I was gonna say join them, but
sue him.
Sue.
And plant a knife in your hamburger. Nah,
obviously.
Who knows what happened? That's just check your food.
Oh, you know what? I have a story about this.
Yeah.
This is not breaking news, but it's a personal story. One time, I was at a place and they gave me mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And I went to go take a bite of the mashed potatoes, and everybody's talking, having a good time, and it was a lot of fun. And I go to chew on my mashed potato.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why you're chewing mashed potatoes, but I did.
Nobody knows.
And I all of a sudden had to stop because there was glass in my mashed potatoes, like a big shard of glass in my mashed potatoes.
Disappointed. Moving on.
No!
Organized armed thieves loaded up car after car.
My life.
Okay, I do care. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Go on.
I just got so sad. Literally, I got so sad.
Literally?
I had to move on.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I've literally never felt this sad in my entire
life. Got it.
Organized armed thieves loaded up car after car and robbed a Brooklyn liquor store $45,000 worth of high-end alcohol was taken.
How did they get away with that?
Car after car, man.
Gosh, how did... Wait, what? Where did they steal it from?
A Brooklyn liquor store.
That's a lot of
That's
liquor.
A ton. That's... Gosh.
It's probably more than a ton.
Hey-o. What's wrong with you? Do you need... Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you ever succumb to road rage?
Yes.
You do?
Sometimes. Yeah.
You're driving down the road, and then somebody cuts you off, and all of a sudden you just go, Mitch, you just start going postal on them. You're like, oh my gosh, who is this person? Are they in a golden Cadillac? Who's cutting me off?
Speed up next to them.
Who is this?
And I throw
I am a wasp! I am a wasp, and I will fly at you with my stinger! I know about your road rage.
Are you sure you're not speaking for yourself?
Huh? No, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, Mitch. Anyway, road rage can cost you.
Yeah.
According to the U.S. Department of Energy, aggressive driving, Mitch, listen, aggressive driving guzzles up 33% more gas on the highway.
Oh, no.
5% more on smaller streets. To avoid paying more at the pump, take this advice from a reputable car care company.
Ugh, I don't need your advice.
Pretend there's an egg under the gas pedal.
That sounds dangerous.
When you accelerate, you don't want to hit the pedal so hard that it breaks the egg.
But I have a question.
Slow down. Now.
Okay, are we talking about the eggshell? And is it a boiled egg? Is it not boiled? Is it
Ladies and gentlemen,
egg?
This is an example of overthinking.
Well, it's just a question.
You're overthinking it.
Because if it's a boiled egg, I know that I can crush it just a little bit and it'll be okay.
It'll give a little bit.
Yeah.
Give a little bit. Give a little bit of my love to you.
Nope.
No, Mitch.
Nope.
It's a full-on egg.
Okay, cool.
And if you break it, you buy it, and you don't want to do that.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, a slice of lemon can spruce up plain old water. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you might be drinking more than you bargained for.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Consumer. Turns out, those seemingly innocuous water glass garnishes could be serving up a host of unappetizing organisms.
Ugh.
For one Journal of Environmental Health study, researchers swabbed the rinds and flesh of 76 lemons from 21 restaurants collected during 43 visits.
Whoa.
And found that a whopping 70% of them produced microbial growth.
All you need to know is that they did a study and 70% of them were disgusting.
That's right. The samples were collected as soon as the beverage, and this was either soda or water, was served before drinking or touching.
So even though water is free, the price is still wrong.
I'm not even proud of you. You know, there was a mystery flying around in an airport.
Oh, okay.
And this is an important mystery.
Okay.
I wish we had mystery music. Do we have some good mystery music?
It's like the... Yeah, where is that stuff?
I don't know. You look for it, and I'm going to prepare this story.
Okay.
Because we all know that we can't all have a dog and a bunch of friends and a van ride around solving mysteries.
Like Scooby-Doo.
Exactly. We don't all have that. And we don't all have little magnifying glasses and a partner who's a doctor. And we're not all super smart. Like Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
That'll work. But there was a mystery of a 100-year-old battered teddy bear with a missing eye and floppy ears, which was found abandoned in an airport departure lounge.
Was it a bomb?
And it's finally been solved after nearly 2 years.
Oh, good.
Staff at Bristol Airport in England discovered the antique bear, which had lost much of its fur, in a bag with a black and white photograph of two little girls with the teddy dated March 1918.
This sounds creepy.
A message on the back of the photo read, "With dearest love and kisses to our darling daddy from your loving little daughters, Dora and Glenn."
Whoa.
After public appeal launched last summer, the bear's owner, Robert Glenn Baker, has come forward.
It was his middle name.
After finding the bear in 2012, staff at Bristol Airport spent 14 months going through flight records to try and spot any passengers matching the names on the photo.
They put a lot of effort into that.
They really did. They then launched a public appeal but were unable to find any living relatives until a story was run in the Mature Times.
The Mature Times.
We only run the most fascinating and high-class stories.
In the Mature Times.
Today, our first example is a teddy bear mystery. A newspaper for people over the age of 50.
Oh, okay, cool.
Baker was sent a copy of the article and recognized the teddy bear as a family heirloom he had lost while traveling through the airport on his way to Cyprus.
Wow.
I know.
Gosh.
Intensity.
It was intense. Thanks, Mature Times.
Ooh. Wow. Speaking of, you know, traveling, being in an airport, losing things, Gary Egan travels almost 100,000 miles a year between his home in South Wales and his job in London, just so he can still live the country life with his lady, Sarah.
Aww.
Egan is the head of production for Rocket Graphics Limited. He has to set his alarm for 3:30 a.m. every day before leaving for the three-hour trip to work. The 46-year-old father of two says, "My job is absolutely worth the grueling commute every day. The company I work for is great. And let me work around my journey to and from the office." Why doesn't he find a job closer to home, you might ask yourself?
Why not?
Egan says his industry is quite narrow. Oh. And there just aren't the same job opportunities in Wales for me as there are in London.
I understand why this all sounds wrong. You're not speaking in an accent. Go ahead.
No.
It's okay.
Here's the thing with this, guys. This is why it's crazy. Each year he drives the equivalent of four times around the earth.
Ugh!
Can you imagine that
awful
commute? Maybe you're in your car right now thinking, gosh, this is the worst. I have to drive 10 minutes to work.
Yeah. Ugh, so much traffic.
Living out on the west side, sometimes like, man, maybe I should live closer to the station. But after hearing this, I'm like, no, I'm good.
That sounds good.
Pretty good.
Wow.
We're saying.
Wow.
Hey, did you see the new $100 bill?
Yeah, I saw a picture of it. Not in person.
A few years ago, the 20 changed and the 5 changed.
Yeah, why is everything changing?
The $1 bill has not changed.
It hasn't, and I've noticed that.
Since 1929.
Whoa.
And will not be changing anytime soon. As has been the case for the past several years, the 2014 budget specifically said that the Treasury Department isn't allowed to spend any money redesigning it either. But why can't the poor old dollar bill get a makeover of its own after all these years? For one, no one's really trying to counterfeit the $1 bill. Secondly, and more importantly, vending machines. Oh. The vending industry has argued that the cost of redesigning its machines to recognize the new bills would be prohibitive.
Prohibitive?
That's right.
Wow.
The National Automatic Merchandising Association, who knew there was one of those, estimated in 2008 that 20 million Americans use one of the nation's 7 million vending machines every workday. Jeez. Apparently, NAMA blocked the Bush administration from a dollar redesign in the early 2000s, and they are not backing down.
They're not going to do it.
And that is your breaking news.
Great. Great job.
Great job. Breaking news. Great job.
Woo! Okay, so now here's something really important that we have to get to.
Yeah?
It is definitely 6:46 now.
Oh, so we're running just a tad late.
Just a little bit. Birthdays.
Birthdays. And our friend Stever is out sick.
He is.
So this edition of birthdays is not going to be near as good.
I'm sorry.
As
it
normally
isn't.
Is.
It's going to be a little bit. Oh, that was breaking news. Dang it.
A little bit.
Boring. I was going to play boring.
Boring.
Okay, but here's the thing. There are still people with birthdays today that we have to celebrate.
Yeah, we do.
It is January 30th.
January 30th.
Today is day 30 of 2014, which means there are 335 days remaining.
Wow. Do you feel smart?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Because I'm reading.
So I believe in you.
Okay, so here's the thing. I don't get to tell you. I'm not like uber guest person right now. So like Stever's really good at that. But
yeah.
I'm just going to tell you whose birthday it is. And you're going to guess how old they are.
Okay.
Today, he got the Oscars for The French Connection and Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. There were a lot of people in that movie.
But he's the old one.
No idea.
Gene Hackman? Yes.
Oh, he was also in Superman back in the day. Come on. Okay.
No, I have no idea.
You're just copying me.
I don't.
All right, how old is Gene Hackman?
Let me think.
62.
Oh, man. Dude. That was really, really generous of you. Wrong. He is 84.
84?
84.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today, Vanessa Redgrave.
No idea.
Me either.
Okay.
77 years old.
Yeah, Vanessa! Oh! We did it! Uh-huh. Okay.
Former U.S. Vice President.
Why can't I think of any Vice Presidents right now? Hang on. Dick Cheney.
Yes!
Okay.
Good job. How old is he?
Oh, man, that dude is old. 81.
73.
Dang it. Gene Hackman, you threw me off.
Today is from Awake and That 70s Show.
Ashton Kutcher.
No.
Mila Kunis.
No.
The dude. Not Toby Maguire.
No, Topher Grace. No.
Topher Grace. The curly-headed one.
No, that's sad. She died just really recently.
Wait, who?
Oh, the blonde. The
no,
sister?
No, I meant the dude.
Oh, no, Fez. Is that... No, not Fez. I can't remember
his
name.
We don't know. It's not his birthday.
Actually, it I believe it is Fez's birthday. Isn't his name like Wilmer?
Oh, yeah.
Wilmer Valderrama.
Yeah.
It's his birthday today. How old is he?
Okay. This guy. Let me think. Maybe like 36?
Is that your final answer?
Yes, it is.
He's
Mitch.
34!
So?
Gosh.
Man, I miss Stever.
Me too.
Stever, we miss you for birthday.
We miss you for birthday. It's like pretty hardcore. But
let's continue.
We're going to move on. From Grace Under Fire.
Grace Under Fire.
Brett what? Butler.
Brett Butler. I remember that name, but I don't know. Grace Under Fire. Was that that? Yeah, okay. I think I remember that show.
I don't at all. And I don't even know who this person is.
If that's who I think it is, maybe like 48?
Very close. It's 56.
Dang it. Not close at all. Mitch!
Very close.
You're throwing me off.
Today is also singer Josh Kelly's birthday.
Josh Kelly.
Married to actress Katherine Heigl.
Wait, what did he sing?
Who was in a string of rom-coms.
Okay.
For like a year.
Wait, Katherine? Or
no,
this
Josh
dude?
Josh Kelly.
Okay.
Let me look him up. Josh Kelly. What else did he sing?
Man, I don't know. We don't have to look him up.
I have to look him up. So
you've got to know, don't you?
Yeah, of course I do. He didn't sing anything that we know. Georgia Clay, mm-hmm. Nayeli Moon, Only You. To Make You Feel My Love, Amazing. Nothing we know.
Sounds like a bunch of cover songs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's guess. Katherine Heigl.
Nope, Josh Kelly.
I know, but I'm thinking of her.
Yes.
They dated.
Good idea.
I'm going to say 35?
Ooh, 34.
Ah!
So close.
Dang it. Dang it.
It's also, this guy's from Rudy.
Rudy?
Alien 3.
Alien 3.
And TV's Rock.
Man,
I've never heard of that.
Stevie.
Stevie
would know this. Miss you, Stevie and Chris O. I don't know.
Charles S. Dutton.
Dutton. Charles S. Dutton. No idea.
You have to guess.
41.
63. And last on the list.
Yes.
Today, singer.
Okay.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Musician. Phil Collins.
It's Phil Collins' birthday?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Let's just take a moment.
Normally I would just be screaming right now because me and Steve-O would be so excited.
Yeah.
You don't even care about Phil Collins.
I'm
about to be screaming for a different reason. Screaming for a reason. Screaming for a reason. Screaming for a reason. Ah!
I'm so sorry. But you know what?
Jam for the land.
I really like Tarzan. Let me just turn this up for a second.
Have you heard this song?
No, I've never
Won't
heard this
you
song.
Back. How many times can I say I'm sorry?
I'm sorry.
How many times?
That's my question. How many
70
times?
70 times 7.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
Jesus Duke.
Okay, Phil Collins. The great... Phil Collins' birthday. Did you hear that he's writing new music? He's writing a new album, and he's writing it with Adele. What?
Are they going to be a part of Tarzan 2?
Man, I've never, ever been more mad at a Disney movie right now, and I'm so conflicted in my spirit.
Right.
I'm messed up right now.
Okay, I have a question.
This is why I was saying black hole earlier.
I have a question.
What?
When Tarzan came out,
yeah.
Were you the most happy person, the happiest person in the entire world because Phil Collins and Disney teamed up and they were like,
aah! I didn't think Tarzan was that great a movie.
You know, I didn't either.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, Phil Collins.
I'm stoked
wrote
he did the music.
You'll be in my heart.
You'll be here in my
heart.
All right. Blah, 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 blah.
Come on!
Okay. How old is Phil Collins? Let me think. Genesis, 80s. He was probably in the.
Your math.
63.
Yeah, he's 63.
Are you kidding?
But for you, I'm just gonna play more Phil Collins.
He's really 63?
He's 63.
I got Phil Collins' birthday right, everybody.
Steve-O and Steve Ryman would be so proud.
Celebrate with me.
Woo!
Celebrate. But on your side. I did so good, and nobody's listening to hear it.
No, they're listening.
Dang it.
They're listening.
Everyone, I'm so excited. I think I peed a little bit.
Aww.
Oh, man.
Dang it.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay, today is, that's it for birthdays.
Oh, no, we skipped one.
Did we? Oh, we did. We did, you're right.
Because I know this one.
Yeah. Ready for this?
And this is important, and I can't believe you skipped it.
I have no idea where I put this anyway. Today...
Yeah.
Is...
No, wait. We gotta find this music.
Okay, so then... I have no idea where I put... Oh. Actor.
It's Christian Bale's birthday.
Inspiration.
That's right, everyone.
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale's birthday. Christian Bale. Star of the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy.
He was also
in...
That...
Terminator Salvation.
He was in Terminator... He was also in that one Dawn movie that, like, Dusk... No. The movie where he got kidnapped in a different country... What was that called?
Are you talking about Inception?
No! No. He got kidnapped. Rescue at Dawn! Thank you.
Okay. What is that movie?
He was in that movie. He was a...
Was he like in a prison camp or something?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that. He's been in a ton of movies. There was that movie that came out a long time ago and he lost all the weight and he looked like... He was that strung out junkie guy. That was crazy.
Oh, what wasn't he, was The Fighter?
Oh, he was in The Fighter? That was an excellent movie.
Where he had
movie.
To lose a bunch of weight for that, too, and be crazy for that.
Yeah, but the one I'm talking about, I think it was like Memento or something.
Oh, yeah, that's Kelly's
favorite. Or Equilibrium.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Look him up. Let's go through a list of movies, friend.
Okay. He, IMDb, IMDb. Where are you, IMDb? Why are you failing me at this moment? There you are.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Christian Bale, born on this day.
Mm-hmm.
How many years ago? Dark Knight, The Prestige.
Where's Rachel?
He was in... Did you watch The Prestige?
I'm the hero.
American Hustle.
That they need, but not the one.
He was in American Hustle with J-Law.
I think I messed this up. Oh, of course he was.
Public Enemies.
But you just brought up J-Law, and that makes me upset.
I'm sorry.
Because we're talking about Christian Bale, now I'm completely distracted!
310 to Yuma.
That was a fun movie.
It's Rescue Dawn, not Rescue at Dawn.
That Rescue Dawn, that's what it was.
Harsh
Rescue
Times,
Dawn! I love you, Dawn!
Batman Begins.
Oh.
Oh, that was a video game, but he was in Batman Begins as well.
Okay, let me guess.
The Machinist.
The Machinist.
Equilibrium.
Dawn just texted. She said, hey, The Machinist, hey, over here! All right, let's guess right now.
American Psycho? I didn't see
oh,
it.
Oh, dude, that movie, that movie's crazy. Okay, it's Psycho.
What you did there.
Yeah, you do. And you know what his first movie was?
No, what was
or
his
one
movie?
Of his first? The Newsies.
Oh my god.
He was
gosh.
In The Newsies when
I
he was a kid.
I forgot about that. That was really old.
Yeah, it is, and it was great. That movie was so ahead of its time.
Oh,
actually,
good.
It was after its time because it was kind of a musical.
Oh.
Musicals were huge back in like the 50s, and the 60s,
kind of after yeah.
The 40s.
And
the 30s.
Now, wait.
Okay. Christian Bale is. I'm going to say. 48?
Christian Bale would be very, very upset with you right now.
Oh, no. Is he younger than that?
Yeah.
44?
Yeah. No, he's 40.
He's only 40?
He was 39 yesterday.
He's accomplished so much in his life.
Yeah, he is only 40 years old today.
That's my bad, Christian Bale.
That's okay.
That's my bad. I know you care about it.
I feel like he'd forgive you.
Maybe.
But now it explains why he can... Go through all those crazy scenes in Dark Knight and Batman Begins and all those crazy movies.
I'm never, ever, ever going to be his Robin.
Don't do that to yourself.
No, you don't do it to yourself.
Hey, today is Croissant Day.
Croissant Day?
And it's also Inane Answering Message Day.
Wait, it's what day? Repeat.
It's Croissant Day.
Croissant.
Croissant.
Les croissants.
Les croissants. It's also Inane Answering Machine Day.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's all we have to celebrate today. I can read you a few things that happened today.
Let's hear it.
Back in 2005, despite widespread violence, about 60% of Iraqi voters cast ballots in the country's first free election in half a century.
Wow.
Whoa.
Here, let me read you one.
Okay.
Okay. Back in 2003, Richard Reed, a British citizen and Al-Qaeda follower, was sentenced to life in prison by a federal judge in Boston for trying to blow up a transatlantic jetliner with explosives hidden in his shoes. Good grief. In 1994, the Dallas Cowboys repeated as NFL champions by defeating the Buffalo Bills 30-13 in Super Bowl 28. It was the fourth straight Super Bowl loss for the Bills.
Aww.
And I know all you Cowboys fans, you're just wishing for that day to come back. You're like, please. But you know what? Here's the problem.
What's
old Tony Romo,
Toady.
He just threw it away. Tony Romo.
Toady.
Sorry, friends. 1933, Adolf Hitler was sworn in as Chancellor of Germany.
No!
Ugh. 1962, two of the high-wire flying Walindas were killed when their famous seven-person pyramid collapsed during a performance in Detroit. And probably one of the coolest things that's ever happened on this day. Coolest and saddest. In 1969, the Beatles' last public performance on the roof of Apple Records in London.
Oh, why would we talk about
The impromptu
this?
Concert was broken up by police. And my friends, that is your birthdays for this day, January 30th. 2014.
If it's your birthday today, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. You can still email us or call us or text us
always
or
and forever.
Facebook us, whatever. In fact, we're going to be coming back in just a few minutes with some cool stories.
With some cool stories. It's Trivia Thursday.
And we're going to be giving some stuff away.
Clay Schroff is going to be in studio today. And
yes,
it's Theology Thursday. So
get your questions in. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or studio at MyStaticRadio. Put Theology Thursday in the subject line.
Yes, and let's face it, you have questions, so just do it.
I got questions.
Of course.
Maybe
you do.
I'll just stand here and ask him a bunch of questions.
What about this?
What?
Well, what about this?
Why?
Well, what about this?
Why? Why? What am I? What is this? What is this? What is this? What is this?
Theology Thursday coming up at 9 o'clock. You're going to want to stick around for that.
That's right. Keep on listening to us here at Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now?
Static Radio.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Good morning!
On Static Radio.
Hey y'all, let's get to some traffic.
Who are you?
What'd you say, me?
Where'd you come from?
What?
Who are you?
Hey!
Hi!
It's just me, Dale.
Dale, you changed a lot.
No, I'm the same. It's how I sound every day.
Dale.
Dale.
How do you spell that?
D-A-L-E, Dale.
Okay.
Roll Tide.
Tell us about the traffic.
Well, outside right now, ain't nothing going on, y'all. It's just cars driving down the road. Got construction, I-25 Passayer, and that's all. It looks good. Y'all, don't be texting and driving now. It can wait. Don't be late. It can wait. That's all.
Solomon's Porch.
Traffic brought to you today by Solomon Porch over here. Coffee shop.
Calvary Campus.
Calvary Campus, 4001 Asuna Boulevard. Phone number's 505-338-3669.
There you go.
Y'all just give us a call over and that hook you up.
Thanks, Dale.
Well.
Thanks, Dale.
Dale, well. Bye.
Bye. Teo.
Hey.
Oh, gosh.
Hang on.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I like to make it look like I was out of the room whenever I do characters.
Stop.
I mean, I was.
Come on!
What?
Come on!
Just broke the fourth wall
yeah.
So hard.
So hard.
Boom.
But guess what?
Ain't no fourth wall gonna hold me in. My comedy knows no bounds, Mitch.
You should have your own show.
No, that's you. Middays with Mitch. Can you imagine Middays with Mateo? I can't because nobody would listen.
Yes, they would.
If you want to hear me doing my own show, listen on Saturday mornings really early.
But you know what? Even though it's like crazy awkward.
It is.
People love it.
They do love it.
And
I get tweets every Saturday.
You get tweets and you get people on Facebook being like, you're so awesome, Tayo. I'm like,
it's because I'm constantly fishing for compliments. It's a strategy I adopted as a kid.
You don't need to do that.
It's great.
But you know what we do need to do?
Fisher of compliments.
Did you?
Hang on, we got a phone call. I want to see who this is.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
What up, guys?
What
up?
Hey, I heard you on Saturday morning before Mateo.
It's pretty rough, huh?
Yeah, it's a little quiet, a little weird, a little awkward, but hey, dude, you rock it.
Did you hear the Saturday when I read from the the encyclopedia?
No, you did not.
What?
No.
Guys,
no,
I'm just trying
not.
We're on the education band, and I want people to know about encyclopedias.
Did you say you're the big book?
Maybe.
Just read.
I can't talk about it.
Did you literally read from the book?
I can't say anything else. Maybe I carry an encyclopedia around with me.
All the time. He does have a really big backpack.
You never know.
I do love thesauruses, though.
Thesauruses are great.
Yeah, I love those. We got several in my house.
Hey, you know what today is?
Today is Phil Collins' birthday.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, it's Thursday, so you know what that means.
Trivia, however you guys do it.
That's right. You want to play?
Thursday.
Yeah, let's rock it. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay, that means you're the first person.
Wait, don't we have Trivia Thursday music?
I don't even know where that is.
Yeah, we're kind of at a loss here finding our things, but that's fine.
What's up with Steve-O, man?
Dude, Steve-O is taking a couple days off for a well-deserved vacation.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, well, I've started playing the Jeopardy music, and there's only a few seconds of it, so we're going to have to restart it in just a second. But I'm going to go ahead and read you the question, and then you're going to answer. And okay. We got Lady Lobo's tickets up for grabs.
That's right.
I think, when is the game? Is it the 12th?
It's February 12th.
February 12th.
So you got some time to plan. So not only is it
I'm not going out there for a lady basketball game.
Oh, my gosh. Hey.
Equality, man.
But I don't even go to the Aggies game here.
Why would you do that anyway?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm from San Diego, so Aggies, Lobos, it doesn't matter.
I get you.
Got it.
All right, well, I'm just going to read you the question, and you can do what you will with the prize.
Okay. I'll see. We'll see how it happens.
Okay, here it is. Mitch, the music. Thank you. While the average president has dozens, George Washington had just one of these when he died.
Has dozens. Like cabinet members.
I'm sorry, my friend, but that is incorrect.
Has dozens. Oh, teeth.
incorrect.
No.
No, no, no.
The second answer was right.
No!
It is actually, in fact, a tooth. I felt bad. He was like, teeth! And then we're like, no! And then somebody else would answer and we'd be like, that's right! And he'd be like, wait!
Read a different question.
Okay.
Is it right? Was that right?
Yes!
Teeth was right.
Oh, my God!
George Washington,
so
he had one real tooth when he died, and it held all his false teeth in place.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's real life.
All right, well, look.
That reminds me of my crackhead cousin.
No.
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 It did not.
Okay, so
it
what? Look, technically you won. You won on a technicality. What do you want to do with the prize?
I want to give it to the next caller, the third caller after me.
The third
caller after you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, bud. Thanks for calling.
All right, man. Hey, I love you guys. You guys keep it up. It's nice to hear from you on the morning show, too, Michelle.
Aw, thanks, cool boy.
Even though these boys give you a hard time, it's just part of being a little sister.
That's true.
Is that what that is?
Yeah,
man. That's love. It's all love.
That's exactly what that is.
This is my older sister.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, poo boy.
Later. Okay, ready for this?
Yes.
Static.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Is this Mom Fernando?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in and say good morning to all the listeners and to you, too.
Thanks, Mom
Fernando.
Thank
you so much.
Good morning to you.
And just wanted to say that and have a blessed morning. Love you guys.
Love you.
Have a blessed morning yourself.
Bye.
Bye.
Static.
What's up?
Hey!
What's up?
You
call
are...
in. What?
You are Hello? So far caller number two, so...
You're number two, but what if I asked you a different trivia question?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, in Super Bowl V, this was 1971, Chuck Howley won the MVP trophy. His MVP is unique for what reason? Any idea?
They're the most valuable player?
No. Why is his MVP unique?
Why is it unique? I have no idea.
He's the first one?
No, that's not it.
That's not it. But good guess, and you can keep trying.
You can keep trying.
Noel, you have to call back.
Mitch was trying to hang up on you.
I'm trying to hang up on you. You have to call back and keep trying.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you're the best.
You're
They'll
the
never
best.
Change. Around.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, this next caller is the winner. Static.
Hey, I'm trying to reap on Pool Boy's get there. And
sir, you reap what you sow. And you have sown correctly. You reap it.
Oh, great.
Yes.
This is, by the way, this is Leo the Lion, and as of yesterday, yes, I am still without gazelles.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Well, look, you already won Pool Boy's prize, but I want to see if you can guess the answer to this one, okay?
Okay.
In 1971, Super Bowl V, Chuck Howley won the MVP trophy. Why is his MVP unique?
Why is his MVP unique?
I don't have any good answers to that. I have no idea.
It's
because it was the first MVP trophy in the Super Bowl.
Incorrect.
No!
But yeah, you got to stay on the line.
Because we have a prize for you anyway, because you're Pool Boy's guy right now.
You have won by proxy, so hold on the line.
Thank you, Pool Boy.
Yeah. Hold up.
Okay. Yeah, just hang on the line.
Static.
I know the answer.
Oh, my gosh.
You know the answer.
You cannot give the
answer. I think I do. I don't know for sure. I don't have a smartphone or nothing like that, so I didn't cheat or anything.
Let's hear it.
I think it's because you didn't even play.
No, that's not it. That is the right track, but that's not it.
Good job, Pool Boy.
Thanks for coming back.
I tried to win my own prize, darn it.
No!
We already gave that away. This is a new prize.
I love you guys. Later.
Love you, bye.
Pool Boy. 338-3700 if you want to try and win this. What's the question?
Okay. In 1971, Super Bowl V, Chuck Howley won the MVP trophy. But why was his MVP unique? It is unique for one giant reason, and nobody knows it.
Ponder that. 338-3700.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break coming back with... Oh, no, we're not.
No, we're not. We got... This is the last one.
Wait a minute. Static.
Yeah, I'm calling back. I think I know the answer now.
Okay.
Let's hear it. Did you use Google?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Do that. That's cheating.
What do you mean you think you know the answer if you cheated and you know the answer?
Well, because I skimmed Google. I didn't read it fully.
That is still cheating.
It's like 50% cheating.
That's still cheating. Okay, well, just tell us the answer so we know.
Is it because he won the whole game?
No, I think your skimming proved to be wrong.
Yeah.
That's not it.
So
it
turns out skimming is not effective.
Hey, but thanks for trying, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great day.
You guys, too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, 338-3700. We're going to take a break. Coming right back with some Kai and Trivia Thursday.
Oh, we got a hard one.
That's right. So stick around.
Stick around.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Trivia Thursday.
Trivia Thursday.
Is now.
Very dark and ominous.
What?
Yes.
Call in with your answer. 505-338.
Here's the question.
3700.
Super Bowl V. This was 1971. Chuck Howley won the MVP trophy. His MVP is unique for one reason, and we want to know what that is.
One reason only.
That's right.
Your answer now. 338-3700. Static.
I do know.
Wait, is this the same guy? Who is this?
I know the answer. This is Brian from Grants.
All right, Brian from Grants.
I believe you.
Let's hear the answer.
Okay, his MVP award is unique for two reasons, actually.
Oh, let's hear him.
It is the only defensive MVP ever given, and it is the only MVP ever given to a player on the losing team.
Boom! That's the one we were looking for. Now, quick question. How long did it take you to Google that?
It didn't.
Oh, you knew it.
I was driving. I was taking my girl to school. I had to wait till I got there.
You genuinely knew the answer.
He's a fan of...
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome, man. Yeah, and that's it. And I guess you pointed out another reason, but it says on this sheet of paper, he's the only player to have won while playing for the losing team. The Dallas Cowboys lost to the Baltimore Colts back in 71.
Back in the day.
Year of our Lord, 71.
Back in the good old days.
Okay, you guys want to know the reason? I know the answer.
Yeah.
Because you Googled it?
No, because actually they were doing a documentary thing on MVPs on the NFL channel.
Yeah.
And that came up, and I happened to be watching it.
That's awesome.
The reason I knew.
Well, that's genuine. That's cool, man.
That's knowledge there. That's your own knowledge.
All right. Well, we have some Lady Lobos tickets.
And things for you.
Yeah, and it comes with a parking pass. Are you interested in that? Does that sound good?
Or.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm interested. Why not?
You're in Grants, so we're wondering.
That's a ways away.
Well, yeah, I'll take them. Why not?
All right, good.
Okay, hold on the line. Brian from Grants.
Yeah, hold on the line.
And that's how it's done.
Boom. He just came in there and owned it.
That's right, he did. We have to play some music, but coming up in just a bit.
Yes.
Clay Schroff will be here from the Aspen Project.
That's right. And then a little later, we'll have Theology Thursday. So get to our Facebook, post some questions, because you don't want me asking all the questions, because it will get, number one, very boring, and number two, very confusing.
Yeah, because you're like conspiracy guy, so.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just going to be awful.
You talk about a train wreck. Just let me start asking theological questions. It's horrible.
Yeah. Oh, don't let it happen, guys. All right, ready for this?
Yeah.
Beautiful Eulogy, now brand new to the Static Airwaves, called Only You Can Save Me.
Featuring Mars, another artist we play.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Check it out.
Good to know.
There you go.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static.
Three, two, one.
Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
You did good.
Thanks. You're tuned into Static Radio, Team Awesome Morning Party.
Hello.
Mitch, Teo.
Hey.
Clay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Clay Schroff.
From the Aspen Project in studio with us. Hey, I like your tie.
Thank you, thank you.
It's pink.
You know, my wife specifically said that people are going to like it, and she says, when they tell you that, you tell her I picked it out.
Yeah.
Good.
And she did.
Good on you, Michelle.
It's a nice tie.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Hey, today, you know, I'm going to start this off a little different. We just got an alert on, you know, through friends on Facebook. There is a 16-year-old girl that today, this morning, has a appointment at one of the abortion clinics. And they're not sure which abortion clinic, and we're not even sure who this 16-year-old girl is. But somebody out there does. Mm-hmm. Somebody out there needs to let her know that she, number one, has a God that loves her, and he's going to love her regardless of what she decides. Mm-hmm. Number two, he loves her enough that he can help her through this, that abortion is not the answer.
Yeah.
So if you know who this 16-year-old girl is, you call her up. You can give her my number, 410-4460. I'll probably give her Michelle's number, but somebody knows who this girl is. And if you don't, listeners, right now, just take that 15 seconds to just throw up a prayer to a holy and a mighty God that he can change the mind of this young girl, change her heart. And if he doesn't change her heart, then we just ask that her car breaks down or the doctor gets really, really sick.
Something.
So that's just a quick, it's kind of an emergency.
Yeah,
I mean, we want to save a life. We want to save two lives.
She could be sitting in the waiting room right now.
She could, and I hope not. I hope that she's further out so that we can intervene. But otherwise, prayer is an amazing thing, and she always has the right to change her mind right now. It's still early enough.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's too late. So,
yeah.
That's that part.
Yes.
That's that part.
All right. Tell us what's going on with I almost said Project Zoe. Aspen Project.
Project Zoe is an Aspen Project.
Yes.
So, and that's exploding.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
amazing.
My goodness.
Got to talk to Michelle Schroff, your wife, yesterday. And there's just so much things going on. They're teaming up with Embrace One, which is a ministry or just I guess another type of project where they go into the strip clubs. And
they're coming in next week.
Nice.
And they're
here?
She's
Team Awesome Morning Party?
Yep. She's cool. Crazy, by the way. Crazy.
Yeah.
And she's making a difference.
That's cool, though.
Wait until you hear the stories. I'm not going to ruin it.
Okay, cool.
But it is amazing. And they're doing, you know, the really cool thing about Project Zoe is it's really brought a lot of the churches together.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? These are people that go to other churches. So a shout out to all of them. And all we want to do is love these girls. And when I say we, I mean the girls, because it's girls helping girls.
Yeah.
So Aspen Project. I'll make this story really short, but this is a really cool deal. So we heard that there was a young lady in trouble, a 7-year-old. She was once in a home of one of our good friends. And through the grapevine, we heard that this young girl was bruised. And so they called Children, Youth, and Family, and they say, unless you can sign an affidavit stating that she really has bruises. And the people that heard about this said, we don't know. You know, and we said, well, let's go check on it. So we go to this motel. Motel is where the outside doors, right? on Central.
Yes. Motel. Outside doors.
I know and, this from too many stays being in a band.
Yeah.
Let me just say, it's rough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I can't even start to tell you half the story because there's some privacy issues with some other things.
Yes.
But let me just say this. My heart really was broken for the people staying in some of these very inexpensive hotels. And a lot of things go on there.
Well, they're not safe at all.
They're not safe at all. But let me say this. I actually have it on video. I'll show you guys later.
Okay.
But it's really cool because the girl seemed to be okay, and she seemed to be happy. But we were able to bring her some clothes and some kid foods, and it really sparked an interest. So in the future, we're just getting it put together. So if people want to come alongside us on this, we're going to go maybe monthly to the different motels on Central and help those people that have kids. And it'll be a great witnessing tool.
That's awesome.
That hand out diapers, clothes, food. And we got to work it all out. There's, you know, there's always some, it sounds really cool, but we got to work it out to make sure it works.
Yeah.
But that's our next little project that we can plug the community into. And
that's a great
idea. We're excited.
That is a great idea. So what's happening for you people tuning in? Aspen Project is just a group of people here led by Mr. Clay Schroff, who we have in. And they do different things to help out the community here, especially dealing with children, underprivileged children, people that might be considering having an abortion or who have had an abortion. And that's something that I think is so awesome because a lot of times that crowd, that crowd just gets completely left out because then they committed some ultimate sin and they're, you know, don't even mess with them anymore. And my friends, I know a few ladies that have had abortions and they are devastated. You know, I mean, it's not like they're waking up crying every day, but there are days when they do that.
It affects their life, for sure.
For the rest of their life, it's never the same. And those people need love and they need ministry just as much as, you know, the kid that's on the way there or the woman that's on the way there or whatever. And so many times they get overlooked. And so that's what I really appreciate about Aspen Project.
Post-abortive counseling is so needed in the church today, and it's one of the greatest overlooked things that we don't have.
Mm.
If you are a man or a woman, because I've counseled men that have driven their girlfriends 20 years ago to an abortion clinic and have lived with it for a lifetime. First of all, we serve a mighty and a holy God that is full of grace and mercy, and He is faithful to remove those sins from us. Mm-hmm. And but post-abortiveness is it's a huge, you know, a lot of us as church, and I'm just talking the church as a whole.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they have great intentions, but they care about that woman not terminating that child or murdering that child, whatever you really want to say. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But here's the truth. Our God forgives us from all the sins that we do. If you are a man or a woman that are suffering from post-abortive
trauma,
that's a great word for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're waking up and I'm not saying that I can take away the guilt and the memories and the birth date of that termination.
Right.
But what I can tell you is I can introduce you to a God that loves you more. And the church doesn't need to hide behind the holier-than-now attitudes that a lot of us share. And
yeah.
You know, I got to come out of that box every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pride comes before the fall. Let me just tell you something. You know, each and every one of us has the things that we deal with in our lives, and some of them can be heavy. And there are people out there right now that have gone through that, and have one out of four women that have had an abortion will attempt suicide.
Wow.
Mm. And those are statistics that I've heard at seminars. So I mean,
right?
Yeah.
But that's huge.
That is
definitely.
Just trust me when I tell you, you can make it through the day. And sometimes that's all you can do is make it through that day. But God has a plan for what you've gone through. And so give us a call on that. Again, my number is 410-4460. If you don't reach me, text me or go to Facebook. And if you want to get involved, if you're a church and you want to help us start with the motel project, and I'm not sure what we're going to call it yet, but it really is. Aspen Project is about imprinting Christ on a child's heart. And there are a lot of children out there that need it. If we can change the generation that are children now, then we as a church and as a people and as a nation stand a chance of having a future.
I love that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's really cool because in our world of picket signs and, you know, quick fixes, I think that's the problem. Like, Well, one of the problems is maybe we just want to do enough to kind of say, okay, I did my part, and walk away from the situation. But you just made me think of a verse in James chapter 1, 27. It says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And that part of that, you know, what you were just talking about, you can't just go in there and quick fix it and be like, oh, I did my job, I held my sign, and I walked away. I did what I'm supposed to do. Because you have people here that are dealing with these things every single day for the rest of their lives. And I feel like that's why God gave us the church, so we can come along alongside each other and say, hey, you got your stuff, I got my stuff, but we got a God, like you said, that loves us more than our stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can come alongside each other and help each other.
Right.
You know what? Last night after service here at Calvary, we met with a couple. Me and Michelle met with a couple, and they're looking to adopt a little baby. And let me just tell the first of all, if you want help adopting a child or getting into foster care, we're there for you. If you're a young lady and you find yourself with an unwanted or unexpected pregnancy, I have tons and tons and tons of couples.
It's true.
That would take that child in a heartbeat. And what a blessing it is to give the gift of life to someone. And
what I think people don't understand is that you're not giving up your child because you don't love them. You're giving them up because you love them and you know that someone else can take better care of them.
You know, and it's, what a blessing.
Yeah.
And it's, but that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind and listen, churches, get involved, you know, get a hold of me. You don't have to fall under our little banner of Aspen Project or Project Zoe or whatever,
or
you guys feel.
Specific church.
Whatever. Mm. We'll help you start your own. Mm. You know, we don't care. The cool thing about ministry is I don't care. Steal my ideas. Run with them.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm in business, you steal it, I'm bringing you to court. But the ministry, it isn't about Aspen Project. It's not about the Project Zoe. It's not about Calvary or Copper Point or any of those churches. It's not about us. It's about Christ and what he did for us and what God is working in our lives. And if we're going to be stewards or servants of God, then we need to do his work. And if I have to work beside some people that I don't necessarily 100% agree with, that's too bad, because God told me, you know, there are many laborers. There are few laborers.
But tons of work.
Tons and tons of work. So we need help.
Get to it.
And if you call us up, if God's laying it on your heart on any of these issues, you get a hold of me. Now we have enough places to plug in. Just because you go to one church doesn't mean I'm not going to plug you in with another church.
Right. There you go. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We're going to post all of the information about the Aspen Project, Project Zoe. It's all going to be there. Of course, you can always call Clay. 410-4460 is his phone number if you want to be involved, if you need help.
Anytime.
So there you go. We're going to get to something real fast.
Oh, we got
to
do some traffic.
Yeah, we got to do this. Ready?
Traffic. It's loading.
And just so you guys know, I only caused one of these.
Oh, great.
Way here.
I know you're driving, Clay Schroff. I know you're driving.
Okay, well, maybe two then.
Maybe if you caused something, it must have got cleaned up. Because right now we only have the construction, I-25 Paseo. But on Paseo, both east and westbound, it's getting pretty backed up, probably just that morning commute. And then also over here towards Coors on what is this road? Ellison Irving.
One of those.
We got a little bit of a headachey looking traffic. So be careful out there. Don't text and drive. Pay attention.
Traffic sponsored by Solomon's Porch. 4001 Osuna Road, 338-3669. Call them if you want to.
Okay.
Thanks.
There we go.
All right. Clay Schroff, thank you so much. What else is going on with Aspen Project? What else do you guys need? Anything?
You know, check out the Aspen Project page, because we do actually have 3 children that are in need of permanent forever families. That's at aspenproject.org.
Oh.
There's always something going on now. We're busy. And a really shout out to the church that, you know what, get involved. Hey, if you're a metal band, if you're a modern-day band and you want to play for a bunch of youth, we're going to be putting something together in the next 3 to 4 months that we're just going to bring a bunch of kids together, and let me know. So you can call me on that, too. If you want to make an impact on a child's life and through music, we have a few projects coming together. And last but not least, we're going to put out a quarterly T-shirt.
Oh, no way.
For men and women. And I'm talking to the designer today, and every what is that, 3 or 4 months?
Yeah.
Every 3 months,
three.
Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll have a new T-shirt out that people can help keep us funded and keep us going.
That's awesome.
And it's something that you, and these shirts, let me just tell you, they'll be rocking.
Oh, quality good. Shirts.
Hey.
Yeah, so you heard the man. If you're a band in the area and you want to get involved, I put up a link on our Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Everything you need to know, available at your fingertips.
There you have it.
That's it. Hey, thank you guys so much for having... If you're not sponsoring Static Radio and you're a business and you have the resources, shame on you.
Yeah.
Because they make it possible for us to come out and do these things. And they're... Let me say this, and it isn't just the Aspen Project and Project Zoe they're behind. I talked to so many people, and if you're hearing it, it's working, right?
There you go.
We hope so.
We hope so. Project, no, gosh, Aspen Project.
Aspen Project.
Project all those Zoe. Projects.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get there. Check it out. Also, get your Theology Thursday questions in, because that's coming up in about 30 minutes.
There you go.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
And now, entering the ring in this corner, heavyweight champion of the world, Mitch! And in the other corner,
me, Mateo.
And in the other corner, Brian Nixon, who has come in early to grace us with his presence.
Hello, Mateo and Michelle. Mitch. You know, these radio names that you guys threw out confuse me, I must say, because... One moment I'm calling you one name.
Yes.
The next moment I'm required to call you by your hipster name.
I
like
know.
Like
hipster.
Mitch.
Well,
like
hipster.
Mitch. I mean that's cooler than my name, Brian.
Phoenix.
Bryman.
Phoenix.
You know, I got all my cool names the first year I came back to New Mexico.
Really?
I got Phoenix, Sir Nix-a-Lot.
Nice.
Oh, I was loaded with names.
I feel like Steve-O came up with every one of those.
No, Steve-O didn't come up with any of them.
What?
Really?
Yeah. The truth of the matter is, the first year School of Ministry students came up with them all.
Nice.
What?
A legacy, if
student
you will.
Ministry?
It's a legacy. So, B. Nix, I think, was a guy by the name of Kelly may have come up with that. Esteban may have come up with Sir Nix-a-Lot.
Esteban.
Yeah, Esteban.
Yes.
Came up with Sir Nix-a-Lot. It was one of those situations where they were just loading me down with names.
That's awesome.
That's kind of good.
Yeah. A little disappointing that it wasn't Steve-O, but
yeah,
we will press on.
But Steve-O has mastered the names when he says them.
He's got it.
Yeah.
Phoenix News. Sir Nix-a-Lot.
Why don't you do your best, Steve-O, the entire hour of Theology Thursday?
Yeah, that's all. But then I'll... No, because I'm not good at it. He's so good at, like... interweaving things together, and then I'll
that
just
was good.
I'll over here going new and new,
and he doesn't even say that anymore.
Can we like just talk about why Steve-O's not here? How
yeah,
dare
okay.
he miss?
Let's talk about
let's
this.
Talk
Can
about
we?
That because if he's listening, like at home with a cup of coffee or something like that,
yeah.
Let's talk about how lame it is that he
it
took
is
today off.
No. So lame. Okay, just because you get so many hours or days of vacation doesn't mean you have to take them.
That's exactly right.
Now, this man that we're talking about is my friend, and I'm going to defend
him. He's our friend, too.
He needs a vacation because he has to live with not only Chrissy and Luke and Jack and Brody, but me and Panda.
And Don.
Panda the
Don's
cat. Well, Don's here a lot.
Yeah.
But... when it's all three of us, it's like,
overwhelming.
What? I need a vacation, but mostly from the cat.
The crazy
the
news is, though.
He's still with the cat.
I know.
The crazy news in all this is I'm moving into the Jeter house next week.
That's
what?
Great.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Does he know?
Well, we're starting a commune. We
yeah.
felt like the whole Jesus movement in the late 60s did mm-hmm. it. We're trying to start a new commune movement.
Yeah.
And we're basing it upon Steve-O Jeter's house.
Why wasn't I invited?
Well, you are actually.
Oh.
You and Kelly. Well, does Kelly have like a stage name? K Mix. Should we call K Mix?
K Mix.
K Mix.
You and Mitch and K Mix will be will be moving in 2 weeks. It's going to be huge.
The stinky thing about K-Mix is right now he's K6 because he's sick.
Yeah.
Is he still sick?
Yeah, he still has that nasty cough.
We got to get him better before he moves into the comedy.
And you know, can I say something else about Steve O'Jeter?
Yeah.
There's a guy by the name of, who's a really good friend of ours, named Joey Belville.
Oh, my gosh.
And Joey Belville, at times, will drop in and be funny with all of you guys.
He
does that. But can we talk about how Joey Belville may be moving into the commune as well?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I can't
wait. If we have to choose between K-Mix and Mitch and Joey and Heidi and his kids, can we choose the Belvilles, please? Because it's just, he invented a term called Shaka Pweeps, and I've never heard that before. And when he said it, my world was changed.
Joey will change lots of worlds.
I know.
I can attest to the fact that Joey is a world changer. As a matter of fact, let me tell you a story about how Joey changed my world.
Okay,
so
go.
I arrive back to New Mexico, and Joey is still one of the fantastic duos here at Static, back then M88. And we're talking about music, and he said, hey, were you ever in a band? I go, yeah, I was in a band a long time ago. I don't even want to say it because you won't know anyone in the band.
What is it?
Well, no. And so he goes, well, give me a name. And so I told him one of the member names. Not only did he know who the dude was, he goes, one of my good friends, Dave Gatt, is like his really good friend. I'm all like, how do you know Dave Gatt? How do you know Peanut Butter Wolf? I was just like tripped out that Joey Belville knew all these people I knew.
So much knowledge.
And so where my world changed is he introduced me to David Gatt. And David Gatt and I had not connected officially since high school.
What?
And now we connect all the time.
That's great.
Yes.
He has changed my world one hair at a time.
Yes, I'm saying. Random phone call?
Random phone call.
Static.
Hello?
You know who's a world changer?
Who?
Brian Nixon, when he changes how people got their names invented and make friends on vacation want to get out of bed and go fight them.
Yeah!
Is this Steve-O Jeter?
Yes.
This is great. Steve-O, we thought you were in Paris, France.
Yeah, what happened?
See, I am. hello?
Standard rates apply to your cell phone, Steve-O. What are you doing?
He took Panda to France with him.
Steve-O. I am in France.
We are so happy you're calling us from France. You know, if you go to the Seine, the little river there by that runs down through the middle of Paris, there's lots of poets and artists there. You would mix right in.
Yeah,
I would be mixed right in because Joey and I invented that stupid nickname that shall never be named. Ever!
Your
he's really
students,
upset.
My butt! I'll fight you!
Steve-O, I have to, keep things real and change it up every now and then. Because it's everyone
lies
else...
Lies on the radio, you're a monk and a pastor and a liar! How can you kick off Theology Thursday with lies?
It's not started yet.
I know! This is, what would I say? Total Truth Thursday? This isn't Theology Thursday.
Total Truth Thursday.
Hey, Steve-O, in all honesty, all jokes aside, we miss you here.
It's true.
It's true. And we do firmly believe you deserve a vacation. We do.
I will send postcards from the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's like 9 feet tall. I can almost touch the top of it. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I sent a little lock with him, like a padlock that has Steve-O and Mateo on it, so he can lock it on that bridge.
Yeah.
Symbolizing
locked
our eternal
forever,
love.
Man.
Well,
yeah.
Everyone knows why Steve-O went to Paris. Steve-O went to Paris to visit Jim Morrison's grave because Jim Morrison lived. See, here's the connection.
Oh, gosh.
Steve-O went to visit Jim Morrison's grave because Jim Morrison died in Paris. But Joey Belville lives down the street from where Jim Morrison used to live. So as a favor for Joey Belville, Steve-O Jeter is going to Paris to visit Jim Morrison's grave to put the locket of not Joey, but of Mateo and Steve-O on the grave of Jim Morrison. But he's doing that for Joey Belleville because it's, Joey lives down the street from where Jim Morrison used to live.
What is going on?
It's beautiful is what it is.
Nizzle is actually telling the whole truth right now, which shocks me because he's been such a liar. So
you're
that's
so
actually
angry.
All true. That really is actually all true.
Okay.
Well, maybe not the truth about visiting Jim Morrison's grave. That was a little stretching it, but
yeah,
all
the
other
I hear
parts.
They have great toast out here, so I'm really excited to check it out.
Yeah, it's called
you
French toast.
You can only
toast.
Get it here. It's French.
French. And they have good French fries as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and you should get a baguette.
Ah,
because that actually is.
Baguette.
Hey, okay, Steve-O, since you're on the phone, will you tell people to write in questions for Theology Thursday? Because it's coming
up.
And we need people to answer us.
Of course, dude. studio@mystaticradio.com. Hello, or you can call in 505-338-3700. I'm deducting about 12 minutes of my vacation time from this because I'm working. So
thank you, Steve.
This counts as work.
It does.
So,
Steve.
All right, as they say in France, goodbye, farewell.
Au revoir.
Have a good day.
Adios. Au revoir.
No, they don't say that here.
Au revoir.
They don't say that here. They say that in fake French movies.
Oh. Bonjour.
It's real. It's authentic.
Bonjour and au revoir.
I'm going to go in a few hours. I'll be speaking the language of love. I will see you all later.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. What our listeners really don't know is Steve-O's really just visiting the Eiffel Tower in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I mean,
but it really sounded good that he was visiting the Eiffel Tower in France.
Yeah. It sounded better. Like he said, Theology Thursday is right around the corner, so get your questions in studio@mystaticradio.com or comment on the Facebook post that I posted just a little bit ago, or call us.
505-338-3700.
We want to hear from you so you can get this man, Mr. B-Nix, B-Nix-a-lot, Nizzle.
Sir Nix-a-lot.
We need him.
Now,
to answer questions.
Now, Nizzle.
Nizzle.
I have to clarify, that is a Steve-O term. That is Nizzle. Is Steve-O through and through.
There you go.
Now he's get the street creds. Nizzle is Steve-O Jeter all the way.
All right. Well, we'll be back in just a minute with some Theology Thursday. Keep it here on Static Radio.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Static Radio.
Now.
Static Radio.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
And begin.
Hello, hello. Who we got up in here, y'all?
What's going on this morning?
We got Mitch, we got Mateo, we got Pastor Jared, Pastor Brian.
That's right.
Mitch, good to see you in here.
Oh, hey.
It is
and
so
Brian
good to have Mitch.
As well. And, of course, Mateo.
Yeah, you know, you guys are used to me by now. This is today's edition of Theology Thursday, and it's going to be a lot of great stuff. Lots of deep topics to talk about today. We got our boy Doug, the intern, helping us out in the other room. He's going to be fielding your phone call. So if you have a phone call, if you have a question, and you want to ask it over the phone, it's 505-338-3700. Give us a call, because we want to hear what you want to know.
And, you know, I'll add to that, too. No question. You know, sometimes you feel like some questions may be not, you know, that theological, but, you know, they're questions, and it's important to have those answered. You know, like last week we had the one, you know, who did Cain marry? Where did he go? That kind of thing. So, you know, do not feel like any question is, you know, dumb or whatever. Just seriously, call in. It's a great opportunity to be able to hear, you know, a biblical answer to that. And with that, the phone number
is 505-338-3700. And let me piggyback on that, Jared, because, you know, a lot of the kids are at school right now. Maybe there's some university students out there. Parents, you know, drop their kids off. Mom's coming back to work. We encourage those phone calls. We encourage people who have legitimate questions about the Bible or the Christian faith to give us a ring to find an answer, and we'll try to provide that answer as best as we can. But the number is 505-338-3700. 3700. That's 505-338-3700 to ask a Bible question. And we actually have a call right now. So let's go to one of those calls.
Let's go to the call.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We'll jump in.
Hi, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Static.
Hello.
Hello?
Maybe not.
Hello?
Maybe not.
Are you there?
It's notorious.
Look, we got Doug on the other side taking care of this. How about we get to this Facebook one?
Okay, we'll do Facebook questions.
Let me just say, in addition to what Brian said, for those that are not able to call in but they're listening and they're at work, you can get this resource in our Parchments bookstore as well as online with Theology Thursday through Static. And so there is opportunity. If you hear a topic and it's a hot topic, but you want someone to hear it, you're able to pick that up. So, again, that is a great resource down the road if you're not able to, you want someone to hear this certain topic. So, Mitch?
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Question for you folks. I've got this friend who, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but I guess, the way she feels about God is like he's confused, and he doesn't know who he is, and that's why we were created, and that's why like there's murderers, there's rapists, there's all these sinful things and whatnot, and she believes that is all part of God's personality, and he's just trying to figure out who he is.
Yeah. Can I ask your name? Do you mind, or would you rather remain anonymous?
This is the Jets guy from Rio.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice calling in, bud.
Yeah. Thanks for giving us a call, Jeff. Well, let me say, without having your friend in the studio right here, it sounds like the confusion is not so much on God's part, but maybe her part. But I'm not saying she's uninformed or she's just kind of doing her own thing, which she may be. Rather, what she's part of, I think, is more, if she even has a sense of who God is what we would call progressive theology. And progressive theology, basically its claims are that God, like so many other things, is progressing. He's growing in his knowledge of who he is. He's growing in his understanding of life and the universe. And though he created it, he is still part of that creation. So when you get and talk to hyper-progressive theologians or people who kind of adhere to that mindset, you'll hear terminology like your friend is sharing with you. You know, God really doesn't know. He's confused. He's like one of us. He's trying to figure it out. Obviously, Orthodox Christianity, biblical Christianity, would disagree with the tenets of progressive theology.
True.
The tenets of what we'd call biblical Christianity or Orthodox Christianity clearly states that God is not bound in the time, you know, matter continuum that we are part of, that he is outside, he transcends this time matter continuum, and therefore he knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. He has what we would call an omniscience, and he knows everything from beginning, middle, and end. Now, with that, and I don't want to confuse this more than I have to, but there is some philosophical debates into what's called middle knowledge and God knowing all the different alternatives. That's an open debate. But what we would clearly say is that progressive theology, we would disagree with. And let me just say, Jeff, that your friend may not even know what she believes, but she's kind of espousing some of the elements of progressive theology.
Yeah, and you know, I would even add to that, Brian, you know, the scriptures are very clear that God, you know, I would even say, you know, that this particular person has never even read, there's an unfairness read from Genesis to Revelation, all the 66 books of the Bible from beginning to end, because God is very clear over and over again how he defines himself. He oftentimes even gives himself different names throughout the Bible, different titles, if you will, and there are over at least 2,500, if not 3,000 different titles that God gives himself. For instance, even Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, I'm the living water, with these types or illustrations to really have a grasp with his attributes of who he is. And let me just say, too, that the Bible, again, is God's declaration of who he is rather than right. even though, you know, there's a lot of self-centeredness in this thinking, you know, it is about us. But honestly, it is God's revelation unto man of who he is. So with a fairness, I would challenge this person to honestly, open-heartedly read the Bible, because to me it almost sounds like, and I'm just going to be straightforward, more of an excuse to maybe even live a certain way. It's easy to say, well, God's just trying to figure things out. Well, no, that's not the case. God knows exactly who he is, you know, and he defines who he is. He's love, he's light, you know, he's all-knowing, he's our healer, and so forth. And so it's very clear throughout Scripture over and over again that God is our Savior, he's Emmanuel, and on and on. So with that honest evaluation, that would be important to look at.
Yeah, what kind of is mind-boggling is, you know, she claims she reads the Bible regularly, mm-hmm. But she only believes part of it. I think that was all due to some documentaries that came out.
Right.
And she was saying, oh, well, you know, he wasn't born in a barn or something like that. He was born in an inn, and it's, you know, that's...
Sure.
Right.
Whatever.
And, you know,
in my opinion, that's kind of minor...
Yeah, and you know, a lot of that, you know, a lot of that is, you know, he wasn't born in a barn. And if you look at the prophecies predicted about 700 years before, as we're told, in, you know, Malachi, that he would be born in Bethlehem, in the place. There are so many different predictions. Again, we can get into the whole prophecy of things. But, yeah, you know, and of course, the timeline of Jesus' actual birth versus, you know, being in the winter time of Christmas and all that because of different types of traditions and all that. But with an honest perspective of looking at the Scriptures, nobody, if you read it, you go through and you look at, you cannot walk away without understanding that God is trying to reveal his nature. Now, I will say this, too, that, you know, when a person does that, they will be confronted. They will be convicted, in a sense, as well, with who God is and his standard. Even in, you know, Romans, it says, you know, that we don't meet that standard. For all have sinned and fall short of the very perfection or the glory of God, his holiness. Therefore, we need help. And that's what God, he's trying to draw us unto him. Brian, I would say this, Brian, I know that there are theories related to the, like, experimental side of things. Like, let's say God just created mankind, and let's, God in his mind thought, I'm going to have a great experiment here. I'm just going to, you know, create all these human beings and see how they run around and do this, experimental kind of, deal and figure out what man is made of. But quite honestly, God made us in his image with the capability to know him personally, relationally, and so forth.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line, Jeff, is that your friend is just maybe in a state in her life where she's seeking, she's trying to figure God out. So I think the best thing for you to do is listen to her, you know, obviously point her to the Bible, to the truths of Scripture, and obviously pray for her, you know, through this time, because if there is some confusion and she's kind of wandering in the wilderness, if you will, you really need to be that light and salt and encouraging her and pointing to resources that will help her find those concrete answers she knows. Because, again, I'm not saying she's delving into process or progressive theology. By the way, they're synonymous terms. Progressive and process theology are very similar. Mm-hmm. But she seems to have come up with some conclusions that adhere to what's called, you know, progressive or process theology. So
yeah,
encourage
great.
Her, yeah. Love on her, and point her to Scripture. And there are lots of great resources out there. Norman Geisler has some wonderful books, some helpful tools to talk about what process theology, give answers or responses. William Lane Craig, the list goes on yeah. and on of great thinkers who have provided great. Concrete answers to those type of things.
Yeah, great question. Also, A.W. Tozer with the knowledge of the holy, just who God is, his attributes. Great question. Thanks for calling in. It was great to hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
You're listening to Static Radio Theology Thursday. If you have a question, give us a call, 338-3700. Going to line two now. Static.
Hello.
Hello, you're on Static.
Hello. My name is Jesus. The question I have today is... I have a sister. I've been a Christian since 1992, been reading the Word of God, and I study it. And my sister, she just conformed to to Christianity, but the thing about it, she attends a church where the pastor goes to nightclubs, they drink alcohol, and I don't compromise the word of God. I can't, because the word of God stipulates that we're supposed to be drunk of the Spirit, not of the world. And the pastor goes out and gets drunk, goes to nightclubs, and she does too. And I totally disagree with this. And it's gotten to a point she won't even talk to me anymore. And I know what the word says, that we're supposed to love our neighbor. My sister is my neighbor also, and I love her more than anything, and I'll do anything for her.
Yeah. Let me say this, that it is a great danger to cause somebody to stumble. And I would say for someone to hold the badge, if you will, if you're a police officer and you're out committing crime, it's contradictive of the nature. And again, we can get into the whole drinking liberties and all that. But I think that is so misunderstood. The liberty is not to, rather than I get to. And the freedom of not being under the bondage of, you know, being in a drunken state, just exactly like you're saying. And, you know, Brian, is, you know, when we deal with this a lot of times, no matter if it is somebody else, but especially as a pastor, there's a higher, there is a judgment that is that God makes very clear. Not many of you be teachers and be in a position of that, because there are certain standards and what we call the pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, that very clearly lay out the sober-mindedness and more than even alcohol, but many other things as well. So the best thing to do is first pray for there to be a light, and then to be a salt, you know, be salt in that place. But the moment someone begins to do that, it's a wrong representation of Christ. Imagine you're asking Jesus to join you in that situation.
Yeah. Hey, Sus, I have two thoughts on this. Is number one, you are right. The Bible clearly states that we're not to be drunk. It says, be not drunk, and it, you can't get more clear than that. So if your sister is going out, in this case, with a pastor and getting drunk, they are going against scriptural teachings. So from that standpoint, you're exactly right. But then there's even a follow-up to that, and that is what we would call the pursuit of holiness. And okay, Christians really should want to be holy, just as the Lord is holy. Now, that doesn't mean if a Christian has an occasional glass of wine or something in the privacy of their own home, you know, they're not being holy. We're not on any kind of legalistic trip here. But what we're saying is, if we are conforming ourselves to what we would call a worldly practice, then holiness is kind of tossed out the door. So you're right in that the Bible does teach that we're not to be drunk. And you're also correct in that Christians are to pursue holiness. And so those two things really should keep us anchored in following Christ. Now, that said, I agree with Jared that you need to pray for your sister. At times when the topic comes up, I would just go back to Scripture, not in a dogmatic, hit her over the head, confrontational, but you could stand firmly on Scripture and say, here's what the Bible teaches. If I'm going to believe you or the Bible, I'm going to err on the side of the Bible. And just leave it at that and just say, but I'm praying and God bless you.
And you know what? Let me just add with 1 Corinthians 6. Let me read this to you as you're on the phone here and those listening. Paul's clear, and of course, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, and he continues on, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Here's the thing, is that was a past life. We've been freed from that. The interesting thing is, I think, too, when somebody is dealing with whether they're going out and drinking socially or whatever, for one, it's a bad witness. But we stand before the Lord on those things, and we do not want to cause someone to stumble. But secondly, where's the threshold? Where's the line of having one drink or a half a drink of drunkenness? I do not want to be in that place personally, and therefore, I want to inherit the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of his kingdom. And Paul says, that was your past life. That was past tense. Such were some of you, but now you've been redeemed. You've been washed. You've been purified and sanctified, set apart for the Lord for the things of God. So I would use 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 there, if you take note of that. Great, you know, be praying for her.
Did that help you, Jesus?
Yeah, that's like I've told her, I used to be a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it, I was living in my past, and when I lived in my past, I had no future.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I found Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, that's where I started to proceed going forward.
Yeah.
And that's what he told the Egyptians, when you follow me, I'll give you dry ground. And I mean, I truly believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I notice what he's done in my life.
Praise God.
And I think the witness that you are leading with your sister, I think, is a powerful witness. So thank you for your question, Jesus. God bless you, and I appreciate you listening to the broadcast.
Yeah, okay. I want to get to a question we have on Facebook. This comes from a buddy named Josh. So I've been a Christian for about 7 years. I grew up in a non-denominational church, and I just joined the Methodist Church about 3 years ago. I struggle with the book of discipline. I need always tell everyone that I answer to the Bible first, even though I'm a Methodist. Now I find that going to the Bible is the main purpose of what we believe as Christians. I'm about to start a youth group there at the church, and I feel that they want me to answer to the book of discipline, but I think I feel that I should be teaching straight out of the Bible in the youth group. My complexion with that is that it seems that I just feel the church has become religious, not spirit-filled anymore, and I feel that that should be the calling of the youth group. I thought this has been on my heart with God for a while, and they are willingly giving me a chance. I think that's my question. That's what Josh said.
All right, Nixon.
Yeah. Let me say first off, Josh, appreciate your Facebook question. And I don't mean to bore you here, but generally speaking, Methodism at its core, its root, Wesley, it's a great denomination. It's orthodox. It's what we would call a Bible believing. Now I'm talking about the historical Wesleyan Methodist. They're great. And the book of discipline that you're referring to in Methodism is really more of what we would call a polity manual. Your particular church may be using it to help direct their polity, by and large, most Methodists would not elevate the book of discipline above the Bible. So let me give you an example. Calvaries have, in a sense, kind of their book that we follow. Kind of we call them the Calvary Chapel Distinctives. But Calvaries would never elevate the Calvary Chapel Distinctives above the Bible. And a great Methodist would not elevate the book of discipline above. Again, it's basically setting out the belief system, the theology, and what it is Methodists believe and do. So from that standpoint, you think of it as kind of like a guidebook to the denomination. So I'm not here to down or diss the book of discipline. But what I will say, Josh, is that you're exactly right. We need to get back to the Bible for the core teachings of why we do things. And I think historically the book of discipline, the Methodist book of discipline, was very biblical. Mm. John and Charles Wesley, who, by the way, were both Anglicans, were very, very set on making sure that the polity and practice and teachings of the Methodist Church were found and rooted in Scripture. Sadly, through the course of the centuries, some segments, some wings of Methodism have strayed for that. So when I talk to a Methodist, I usually have to say, well, what strand or denomination or sub-denomination of Methodism are you part of? That's an important question, because different strands or sub-denominations of Methodism adhere and believe to different things. Some are on the complete liberal side of the spectrum, where they don't you know, they deny the inspiration of Scripture. Some would even deny the Trinity and some of these cardinal core beliefs. Whereas other Methodists, Wesleyans, would be very right on biblical. So in order to answer the question about your particular church, you would have to go to your pastor and say, what is it, what do we stand on? And if they go, well, we stand on the inspiration of Scripture, then that is your open door to teach Scripture. But again, don't diss or, you know, throw off to the side the Book of Discipline, because Methodists aren't saying that this is equal with the Bible. This is just kind of their guidebook to help you get through the denomination. But I would encourage you, Josh, to teach the Bible, to really get ingrained and get the kids you know, saturated with Scripture, because ultimately that is going to be the thing that's going to transform them. Interestingly enough, the core four areas that John Wesley presented, and he took three of them from his Anglican heritage. They were Scripture, all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. They were the traditions or the history of the church, that we have to be respectful and responsive to what the church has taught before us. And then the third thing that the Anglican church sat on was reason. We have to approach Scripture reasonably, intelligently, and we really have to teach the Bible with the intellect in mind. But then Wesley added a fourth component to that trivium, if you will. And that fourth component is experience. So Wesley said you have to have a born-again experience with the living Lord in order to understand these other three principles. So I think those four core elements of Methodism are just wonderful, because I do think Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, teaching the Bible, I do think we need to be appreciative of the history of what has gone before us, looking to those shoulders that we stand on. We have to approach the Bible intelligently and reasonably, teaching it with clarity, and we have to have that born-again experience. Right. So if you go back to core classic Methodism, you're on good footing, but you really have to look at what your particular church teaches.
And, you know, I to summarize that too on a layman's term, love that, Brian. That's why we love you in here. Great insight. James said, be a doer of God's word, not only a hearer only. And so, great question. You know, Scripture always is, you know, challenges us and always pushes us forward to a greater understanding and a greater relationship with the Lord.
You're tuned into Static Radio, Theology Thursday, right in the middle of it. If you have a theological question, call us 338-3700 or email us studio@mystaticradio.com.
Yeah, 338-3700. I like that number, Matt, 338-3700.
Why do you like it?
Well, it's because it's one of those numbers.
Trinity.
It's 338-3700, 338-3700.
Oh, please.
That means you get to connect and talk with you
That's right.
I'll tell you what I like. I like the email, and we have another question.
Yes.
This question comes from Tiffany. My husband and I are reading the Bible to our kids. How can I explain, I'm trying to see it, to them, why God let Old Testament men and kings have more than one wife, as well as concubines? Also, when did they, what does that say?
When did that standard change?
Yeah.
Only to one wife. Well, let me just say this. it actually predates that. There's this idea that there's the Old Testament liberty and then the New Testament, it all changed. But quite honestly, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, it is very clear that even from the start of, even before entering the Promised Land, we're told in Deuteronomy 17 that Moses, as he declared to the children of Israel, something very interesting. I just want to read this briefly, but it'll give us an insight on what God's heart is. His intention was that it would be monogamous. So here's what he said. He says, when you come into the land, which the Lord God is giving you, and possess it and dwell in it, and I will set a king over you. He says, you shall surely set a king that the Lord the God, your God, chooses from among you, your brethren, and he shall rule over you, not another foreigner, but one of your brethren. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. And then also he continues on by saying, nor shall he multiply wives for himself. And that is in Deuteronomy 17:17, easy to remember, unless for his heart to turn away from God. And so even from the beginning, and I kind of break it down like this, they weren't to multiply horses, nor were they to heap up gold or treasures unto themselves, nor multiply wives. God from the beginning instituted that, even from Adam and Eve, being very clear on a one relationship, even one, the two shall become one flesh, not many. Now, as a result of that, and again, I break it down to, here's my street terms, gold, glory, and girls. You never had to take the fame. When you multiply horses, there was this idea of preeminence or fame. When you multiply gold, that was a tendency, was a snare. It caused them to look at those resources and take honor into themselves as well. And then the girls, as far as having different or multiple wives. Now, we do see in the Bible that there are wives and concubines, but you got to understand, just because there are wives and concubines doesn't necessarily mean that there were sexual relations between the combination of those. Concubines were also considered servants, but they were, whether they would be a virgin or whatever, there was a purity related to that. So is it God's plan that man would be with one woman and a woman be with one man? Absolutely. But did, I mean, we see David, we see other kings that multiplied that. God was, he chastised those kings as a result of that. And so it is something interesting also, in it, again, with culture and everything. But today, as we look at, in the, you know, God clarifies even through his son Jesus Christ that it is to be one flesh, that two become one flesh. And that was from even the beginning of Genesis. So I guess my answer would be is that God's intention was to be one union, not many. And so regardless of having concubines and this and that, it just creates more problems in the long run. And of course, Solomon's a classic example of that, right?
Yeah. Tiffany, first of all, appreciate your email question. Thank you for sending that in. And of course, I agree with Jared on all of that. And for me, it's very simple. Your question has two underlining elements. What was God's original intention? And Jared answered that. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we clearly get that God's original intention was between one man and one woman. The second part of your question is, when did that change? Well, it changed with the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, yes, and they disobeyed God, and what we would call sin entered the world, sin just did that. It entered the world, and with that, people's ideas and ideology and their own free will took them to extremes. But God's original intention, his original purposes, have always remained the same, a husband and a wife. So when we get to the New Testament, one of the overarching things that the Apostle Paul and other writers of the New Testament proclaim is going back to first principles. What was God's original intention? So that's why you would have Paul using allusions like Christ is the second Adam, because he is really fulfilling what Adam should have done. And the biblical Christian teachings are really fulfilling what God's original intentions were, his first purposes, and the first purposes were for a husband and wife in a monogamous marriage.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Right. Again, guys, we want you to call in. This is Theology Thursday. The number is 505-338-3700, or you can email us, just like Tiffany did, studio@mystaticradio.com. And I'd say put Theology Thursday in the subject line. Now, we have another question on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And this says, and this is a big one. I've heard this talked about since I was a kid.
Matt, does it have a name? Did this?
Yeah, this is from Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
If it's a hard one, let's give that to Mitch or Brian.
Yeah, Mitch.
I got all right. This.
Mitch has this. question on salvation. What happens to babies, young children, mentally ill, good, and those that never have heard the good news of the gospel when they die?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you've already alluded to, Mateo, that there is a lot of controversy, a lot of different opinions. And just briefly, the opinions go from the pendulum of it doesn't matter if they don't know Christ, they're going to hell, to if they've never heard, you know, the good news that obviously God in his goodness and love is going to bring them to heaven. Well, I personally would probably fall somewhere in between. I don't think God's going to send babies to hell. And as a matter of fact, there's lots of scriptural precedents. Pastor Skip, interestingly enough, Michael, if you're listening, Pastor Skip has a booklet about what happens to children when they die. I would recommend you to go to Parchments and pick up that booklet. But generally speaking, salvation is based upon the salvific work of Christ in the life. And so if a person, let's say a 25, 26-year-old person has not received Christ and they die, we would believe that that person would end up in hell. But what happens when a child or a baby? I tend to agree with the principle that that child is still in a what we would call a state of non-knowledge. They don't have the ability to really make a cognitive decision. And therefore, God in his mercy and love would take them to heaven. But again, for a further description on this, get Pastor Skip's book on a booklet on this topic.
Yeah, and you know what? To be, again, adding to what Brian said, excellent, too, to look into that. Let me just say on a theological sense, when we think about God's revelation and how he reveals salvation, whether it be young, old, people that have never heard, because we always think about the person who lives out on an island somewhere that would never hear. But God has made it very clear that that is an impossibility. And the reason why is because there's two revelations. One is God's general revelation and his specific or special revelation. In Psalm 19, David, as he declared, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows God's handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout the entire world, and their words to the end of the world. Let me say this. That is a general revelation verse in Psalm 19 that speaks that creation itself says there is a creator regardless. So there is a seeking within, as God is seeking mankind, there is going to be a voice of there is a creator, intelligent design, and so forth. But then Paul adds to that, and I would even say, in Acts 17, when he begins to talk about there in Athens about the unknown God and using their own poets, quoting their own philosophy and such. But he even says that God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell upon the face of the earth and has determined even their pre-appointed times and their boundaries and their dwellings so that they, the people, should seek the Lord in hope that they may grope for him and find him, because he is not far from each one of them. So the idea is, again, through general revelation, God is very clear that he has spoken, that there is a designer. As we seek him, of course, he reveals through special revelation, through the scriptures, that there is God is noble. Through his son, Jesus Christ, even the claims Jesus made of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We realize that God's way of salvation, all of creation, all of the general revelation points to a purpose, that has a speech in itself. And therefore, even the special revelation, the scriptures, the person of Jesus Christ, God through his prophets, speak about salvation. So I believe, again, as you read this through scripture, that God will... whether, again, and we're looking at time, why isn't somebody getting saved sooner than I think that they should be saved or whatever? God is working. He's working. And the Holy Spirit is among us. He is alongside of the unbeliever, I believe, as he convicts and he's drawing them to him. So with that said, I hope that helps as far as that question, that God is drawing, whether it would be through general revelation or specific revelation.
Yeah, and again, I think just on a personal level, I believe that when a baby dies, that baby enters heaven.
Yeah,
that baby goes to be with the Lord. And I would draw your attention to the Connection website. Pastor Skip has teachings and a book on this. It'd be very, very helpful for you, Michael.
All right.
You're listening to Theology Thursday on Static Radio. Have a question? Call us 338-3700, or you can email in studio@mystaticradio.com. We're going to get to an email from Christine. She says,
"Perfect.
I have a good friend who is a Seventh-day Adventist. I have no idea what Seventh-day Adventists are on a track of in their theology. Are there beliefs or practices of Seventh-day Adventists that are not biblical, or are there?"
What do you think, Brian, as far as Seventh-day Advent?
Well, generally speaking, I'd have to go in depth, and I don't really want to go into too much depth, but let me say this, just as a kind of food for thought. Walter Martin, when he created his classic work, Kingdom of the Cults, didn't put Seventh-day Adventism in the main section of his teachings on cults. The reason being is because Seventh-day Adventists adhere to most of the biblical doctrines, or what we would call the core orthodox beliefs. However, Walter Martin did put Seventh-day Adventists kind of in the appendix. And why he did that is because he felt there was enough odd beliefs that it warranted that Bible-believing Christians would kind of take stock of, okay, what is it about Seventh-day Adventists that make them so interesting and odd? Sure. Now, with that said, are there going to be Seventh-day Adventists in heaven? Do they love the Lord? Have they received Christ as Lord and Savior? Unequivocally, yes. We would say that Seventh-day Adventists are Christians if they have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. But on the other hand, do they have peculiar beliefs that necessarily aren't biblical? And again, the answer has to be yes. Let me give you just an example. One example is the dietary laws. Seventh-day Adventists have went back in, and I'm talking about classic Seventh-day Adventism, have went back into the Old Testament and said some of the dietary laws from the Old Testament are still binding for today's church. Well, here's the problem with that. You cannot pick and choose as to what laws are binding and what laws are not binding unless directed or dictated by the New Testament itself. And when we get to the New Testament, we unequivocally find that not only Paul, but we find later Peter and others did not add stress to the dietary laws. As a matter of fact, they seem to write against the use of dietary laws in the day and age in which the church was existing. Secondly, where they even get their name, Seventh-day Adventism, is their emphasis and unending teaching that true Christians must go to church on the Sabbath and that the Sabbath is the holy day. Well, that sounds right and all. If that's when someone elects to go on church, we have a lot of people that go to church here on Saturdays. We're not opposed to people going to church on Saturdays. We just want people to be going to church. But to overemphasize that that is the Lord's day, that that is the only acceptable day to go to church goes beyond the teachings of Scripture. Because what, again, we find in Scripture is that the early church would go on Sunday to meet and gather. So to overemphasize a Saturday in light of what Scripture teaches otherwise is, again, an abuse of that particular
teaching.
And,
you know, I would say just in one addition to that, because we can go on for that forever with this, but I think one of the if you want to call, well, I would call it, you know, a fallacy in their doctrine is the fact that the law is still instituted upon the Christian life, where Jesus Christ himself, as we're told throughout Scripture, Colossians, a great example, and also Ephesians, where the wall has been broken down, that Christ fulfilled the law, the commandments, as we would consider the Ten Commandments, and therefore they still apply those that you have to match up to those, if you will. But Christ himself, as we're told, he fulfilled that. There was no way we could in perfection fulfill the law of God, because to even violate one, you'd be guilty of it all. So I would just say, as long as it is based, and this has to do with any sort of religion across the board, what they do with Jesus is what matters. Is he fully God, fully man, who has come, taken our place in atonement, if you will, upon that cross, and therefore fulfilled that? So we're going to move forward. I hope that helped you, but go ahead.
Let me just say that really, Christine, you should pick up Kingdom of the Cults by Dr. Walter Martin. The newest edition has Ravi Zacharias doing the introduction. You would get so much more information about what Seventh-day Adventists believe and really give you a balanced view of how to approach some of those beliefs. Again, that's Kingdom of the Cults by Dr. Walter Martin.
You're listening to Static Radio. If you have a question for Theology Thursday, we still have some time. Phone number 338-3700. Right now, line one, Static.
Hi. I have a question about agnosticism. Okay. My husband and I were Christian when we got married. We were very strong. In fact, we were deacons in a very large church here in town. Mm-hmm. and we were very involved for 20 years.
Okay.
And my husband knew the Bible inside and out.
Right.
We would have door-to-door religious people come, and we finally got blacklisted because they couldn't they stopped arguing with him.
Mm-hmm.
He became very curious about knowing information about other religions.
Okay.
So started reading about them, and then he moved on to reading about. He basically educated himself out of Christianity and into agnosticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my family is Christian. I'm Christian. We have three children.
Right.
And when he became agnostic, it's been about eight years now.
So let me ask you, you just want to know about agnosticism and what that implies, correct?
Well, yeah, my children are afraid that he's going to hell.
Hmm.
I've tried to reassure them that he's basically backslidden and has lost his faith.
Yeah. He sounds more Gnostic as time goes on. It just sounds like there's more of a Gnostic theology rather than an agnostic.
Well, but it does sound like you're saying he does not believe in God anymore. Is that correct?
He believes that there is a greater being.
Okay.
He does not believe in Jesus.
Right. Right. So really, maybe he has approached it more from what we would call a deistic point of view, that there's a God out there, there's a supreme being, but in order for us to know, in any religion, to claim exclusive rights to knowing God, he would dismiss that argument, correct?
Yeah, and he doesn't believe in heaven or hell, and he's challenging my children on this.
Yeah, sure, okay, I got it. So
he's kind of had it out on this, and I finally had to look.
Yeah, so let me just give you a clear thoughts. Jared is right. He is not definitionally an agnostic. An agnostic really means no God. They do not believe, or they have no knowledge that there is a God. They're kind of like in between. They're not atheists. They don't deny the existence. They're not theists, where they believe there's a God. True agnosticism is going, I just don't know. But it doesn't sound like your husband is there. What it sounds like, as I pointed out, is your husband is more of like a deist. Like somewhere up there, there's a God who created the world, the universe, and there's universal principles, and we really can't figure it out. So all religions are kind of have a little piece of the pie, if you will, in understanding. Is that correct?
In fact, he says that every religion has the same concept as Christianity. They all have someone that's similar to Jesus. Are you saying deist or theist?
A deism is a historical term used to describe people who really didn't take a particular religious affiliation. They just were almost universalists in their understanding of God, that they believed that there was a God, there was a higher power, supreme being, but they were just kind of, God started it at the beginning and he's not involved anymore, but there is a moral code that we must live by. So deism, with a capital D, is a term that's used to describe kind of that elusive. We also would call them universalists as well.
Yeah, and you know, I would say, you know, just to bring it really down to the core of it, in my last comment towards the other question prior to this, is that it all comes down to Jesus and what the claims he made of himself and the works and the words that were accomplished through him. The thing is, it really comes down to Jesus Christ. He declared of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and so forth. And so either a person believes that or they don't. And again, if this is the way that God the Father has provided salvation, a person's in big trouble, obviously, regarding that. Even though a person may not believe in heaven nor hell or in God, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And therefore, as you even look at the arguments, and again, we can go forever on the radio show, even with this certain topic. And Brian will give you some resources here in a second. But I would just tell you to be in prayer, because it does say in Ephesians that we are dead. God's evaluation of us is that we were dead in trespasses and sin. It wasn't like we were just sick and we needed to be healed a little bit. But his definition is we were dead in sin and our trespasses, and we were made alive through the person of Jesus Christ. Salvation is a person, not a system. And so therefore, what your husband or anybody for that matter, what they do with Jesus says it all. And they will stand before him because all authority has been given to him. John chapter 5 speaks of that. And also John chapter 14 in the Gospels. We read that, the book of Revelation. Therefore, I would pray that God would open his eyes because, again, what we would term as he's blinded by the fact of the person and the nature of Jesus. Yeah, do other religions have the same kind of components? Of course they do. There are those elements of heaven or hell or purgatory for that matter, judgment, apocalypse, that kind of stuff. But the answer truly comes to the person of Jesus. No one ever claimed the things he did. And so there are resources about really analyzing in a very intellectual way what was so unique about Jesus? What makes Christianity stand apart from everything else? So, Brian, what are some resources that she can look into and read and look into as far as helping with that?
Well, you know, obviously, the Lee Strobel series, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, those will be very, very helpful for your husband if he hasn't read them. And why they would be helpful is because Lee Strobel, who was an investigative journalist, himself an agnostic, though we've kind of defined that your husband's not an agnostic. The bottom line is that what Lee Strobel does is he kind of walks us through his search for God, asking those questions. Why is Christ unique? What is unique about Christianity? And these type of things. But I would start with The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, and then you could go from there, but there's a lot more resources. But Jared is right. It really comes down to the uniqueness of Christ. What is it that Christ did on the cross, in his life, in his teachings, that's unique and different from any other religion? And it comes down to that he rose again, and that is the cornerstone of the Christian teaching.
All right. Well, thank you for that question. And again, we'll pray with you and just pray that God would just, you know, just encourage you. And I would say even in regard to your children, it would be good to encourage them as far as just, you know, trusting in Jesus, and you know what, to be open with those questions with them.
Yeah, and I just want to say something too, because in college I studied, like, I was theology major or whatever, so I'm nowhere near as versed as Brian or Jarrett, but I know in college I was like, oh man, culture's so cool, so I just read up on a lot of them and different. I think when you're in a band, you just get so interested in conspiracies and stuff. So I'm betting that he's watched a movie called Zeitgeist and read a few different things, and the thing about it is that the movie throws out all of the messianic figures throughout history and so many different religions. And the funny thing is, there are a lot of similarities between many of them. But for me, the difference has always been, like, when you look at the Bible, most ancient cultures, when things happened, they only wrote down, well, for the fact of the matter, most of them couldn't write. So it was like the super high-ups that could write or whatever, the super rich people, the well-educated, they would only write about victories. And in the Bible, all you see is failure after failure after failure. And if there's anything that speaks more to humanity than failure, I don't know what it is. But then also, you see all these messianic figures, and it's like, man, they're so similar. Which one's the right one? But to me, that kind of shows the tell in the play, I guess, of the enemy. Because if you have so many things saying one thing, would that not logically lead to the fact that it's probably true? So even if you have all these different religions saying there has to be a Messiah, there has to be a Messiah, there has to be a Messiah, it's like, maybe there has to be a Messiah, you know? And then when you look at Jesus, the difference there between he and all these other people was the heart of the matter, like Jarrett said, because Jesus came in and did a completely revolutionary thing. It wasn't like a military thing. It wasn't just a list of rules. He came in and he said, hey, your heart matters. And no matter what your actions are, what's coming, you know, behind those actions, what's motivating it? That's the real thing. And that was just so revolutionary. It changed everything. And yeah. so I kind of get where your husband's at, because he's seeing all these things, and it's so easy to just say this is all the same and it's all a bunch of crap. But at the same time, like, when Jesus enters the picture, the hard part of it is that's where personal responsibility comes in, because once God enters man, you know, he comes down in the incarnation, then that calls every one of us to a personal responsibility. Just like, oh man, I have to own up to all this stuff, because it's that's just the bottom line of it, I guess.
Great insight. Did that help answer your question?
It really does. It's just so hard to understand how he could have been a deacon and be so knowledgeable in God's word and be such a strong Christian, and then suddenly turn his back.
Well, you know, you have that in the scriptures with the Pharisees, who are very religious, and of course they were the first ones to turn against Christ, and those were the ones that Jesus, you know, said you're just whitewashed tombs. There was an outward form. The reality is he may not be born again, because when someone's born again, the truth, the reality of that through the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, all scripture speaks of me. It all points to me. So I would say this is a spiritual battle. You need to be praying for him. You need to pray that God would stir his heart to see the truth. And so many times we can argue against the point, and we can just spend hours and days and years arguing about this religion or that. But the reality comes to examine Jesus. What is it about him that makes what is so different about Christianity? And the fact is that not only did he come, live a perfect life, fulfill the law, he went to the cross and died as atonement, rose again, but here's the kicker. He also infused his Holy Spirit into us to have new life, that we would live forever with him, to wash us from our sin. And so no other religious person or Messiah, if you will, supposed Messiah, has ever even claimed those kind of things before. Only Jesus. And so that's what I would be praying for him.
Yeah, prayer, loving him, standing with him in this time, and also give him some resources.
Yeah, educate yourself.
Case for Faith, Case for Christ, Lee Strobel. And again, there's a host of other books out there that really deal with this. But we appreciate your call. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast.
Yeah, all right. Give us a call, people, 505-338-3700, or again, email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. Now, we've got an article here, speaking of like different religions and savior figures and stuff like that. There were a lot of prophets in the Old Testament, and nowadays, especially, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all kind of get lumped into one thing. And I guess you can make the argument that they're all talking about the same God or whatever. But I know you guys wanted to go into this a little bit, because there's a lot of stuff going on, like in Pakistan, that point out some differences.
I just wanted to, you know, the other day I just came across this article about a Pakistanian who was sentenced to death, or is going to be sentenced to death, for blasphemy. And this British man, it just struck me as a very interesting thing because of the extreme of it. This 65-year-old man was taken into custody because he had written letters claiming to be a prophet. Now, of course, the British national Pakistani, you know, government has got involved and said, well, he's mentally ill and such. But it may not seem like a big thing to us as we hear that. But when you read, this is right on the headlines that so often as Americans, I think that we can look at and go, what's the big deal about that? Believe what you want. But in a country like that, where Islam is not only culture, law, life, all of it, and religion combined, this man is being charged under their section 295C of the Pakistanian Penal Code that states, quoting, whoever by words either spoken or written, or by visible representation, or by imputation, or like an innuendo or an insinuation, or directly or indirectly defies the name of, or defiles the name of, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, shall be punished with death or imprisonment, and shall also be liable to a fine. Now, here's the thing. After reading this article, it struck me that here's a guy, older gentleman, who is probably, you know, maybe even claiming to speak for the Prophet Muhammad in a country where Islam is dominant. And as a result of that, because of the elevation of Muhammad in that country, in Islam, because of that false representation, insinuating that he is the prophet, he is going to be sentenced to death. And so when you look at that, that should be shocking to us on many levels, because here you have something that, again, as law, brings up a lot of controversy, especially with the Olympics that are going to be happening with, you know, just radical Islam and what have you. But it reminds me that we're living in a time where these days are not far from us, especially when you see this side of Islam, unlike the Western world, where it can be a little less, you know, threatening. But this man is going to die because he claimed, or at least wrote, saying that he was speaking for the Prophet Muhammad. What if that was in the case of Jesus? What if I said I was speaking for Christ or preaching from a pulpit? Would it be punishable by death? And so you could see the two extremes there. And that's my question. I leave that to you as well. So, Brian, any response for you?
Well, I would say, you know, Matt's question, you know, going back to the initial question of why are they clumped together? Well, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam are clumped together because they're all monotheistic religions. They believe there is one God. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the doctrines, the basic doctrines of Islam, that is the first and foremost. The first doctrine, or the thing that they adhere to, is that there is one and only God. Then they would move on to, there's been lots of prophets. There's been people such as Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus. But then they would say Muhammad is the final prophet. He's the one one that consummates what the one true God wants done. Thirdly, Islam would teach that there are created angels called jinn. Some are good, some are bad. And so they do believe in the supernatural realm, which, of course, Christians and some sects of Judaism do believe as well. And then they would say the Quran is God's word and final revelation, whereas Christians would say, no, it's the Bible, it's the New Testament. Yeah. And ultimately, another similarity with Muslims and Christians is that there will be a final day of judgment. So when you look at some of the basic doctrines, Matt, you know, going back to your question, there are some similarities, but it's how we interpret those similarities. It's how we go about reasoning through those and looking at the historical evidence that makes them so completely different. Obviously, Christians wouldn't give any credence to Muhammad as being the last prophet. For Christians, it's all about Christ. Christ was the prophet, the priest, the king. He was the Messiah.
Right.
He died. He rose again. So though there are similarities, there are so vast differences. And it always comes back to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So, you know, those similarities in doctrine are there. But then there's the five pillars of belief in Islam. And essentially that, you know, for the
Brian, I hate to interrupt you, but I know we have like about a minute.
Right. Let me finish. So the five pillars is that, you know, it's necessary to become a Muslim. One must pray five times a day. One must keep feasts. One must give alms. And every Muslim must make one pilgrimage, at least to Mecca.
Sure.
What you get there is works-based religion.
Right.
For the Christian, it comes down to believing in the propitiation, what Christ did on the cross. And so the core difference comes down to the person, work, of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And you know, with reading that article, and Brian, thank you. Sorry to interrupt like that so abruptly. I just wanted to throw that out there, even for next week. Those of you listening, to begin to send questions in. We would love to talk a little bit more about Islam and Christianity next week. So with that said,
guys, we've come to the end of our journey.
Thank you.
Sadly, it is abrupt end. And I wish we could talk about this stuff all the time, which is the stinky.
Well, thank you for all those who called in, emailed, Facebook, the whole bit.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming in and do this every week.
Thank you, Mateo and Mitch. God bless you guys.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's the end of today. Mitch, what did you learn?
I learned a whole lot from Theology Thursday, which was good. I also learned that it's Phil Collins' birthday and that he is 63 years old today. It's been a good day. What did you learn, Teo?
I learned... Again, every day this day, I don't know what I learned because there's so much that just happened.
Too much.
I just have to process. But I learned that you and I can handle this show.
We got this!
We got it!
Mitch and Mateo.
Yeah, the Team Awesome Morning Party M&M edition.
That's right!
Not the rapper. But look, guys, we're going to put up the podcast of Theology Thursday in just a few minutes. It'll be up within the hour. So if you miss anything, you want to go back and focus on anything, I believe you can go to mysaticradio.com/Theology Thursday.
That's right.
We'll have a list of resources for you. We'll go a quick summation of all the questions. So feel free to go in there and check it out. Also, we'll have the podcast of our show
the most the party.
Wonderful show
Obviously.
That happened this morning.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow we'll be back.
You and I.
Bright, dark, and early.
Dark and early.
Dark and early. And it'll be Friday, so we'll have a good time. So I guess tune in next time.
Up next, Middays with Mitch, because I'm still here. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Come on.
That's it for us, guys. That's, we're heading out.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static Radio.